Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put quite kimp and cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise that our quite something able. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
realize... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
King Shaziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
So you're on the first floor, because you're listening to us right now. You're on the very first floor of the internet. Isn't that cool? It's like really nice up here. We got friends to talk to and all kinds of subjects to talk about. But did you know that there's many levels of this internet that we're on? Did you know there's a phrase that they call dark web? Well, we're going to go down the dark web rabbit hole here on the Knights of the Round Table. Because there's some really crazy things out there. Now, we know that we see all this stuff on the mainstream media. We see the news broadcast about things happening around the world. And we sit there and we talk to all of our different friends out there. Some of us in the conspiracy world. Some of us just out there trying to find information for alternative medicines and alternatives to basically the system that's pretty corrupted as far as our eyes can see. So you look out there and you see all this craziness going on, and you finally find yourself some sort of happy medium, some comfortable zone where you can kind of tolerate, you know. It's just the world's just that nuts. So you build this little bubble around yourself, this circle, and you pretty much try to stay within that range, you know. But you know there's people out there that like to explore. They like to go down these dark, deep rabbit holes and into the underworld of the internet. The underworld of the world, so to speak. It's really crazy. But the thing about it is, the internet was never made for security purposes. It wasn't made for security purpose per se. You know, it's like to transfer information back and forth between government agencies and stuff. There's a cryptography, I guess is what they call it, where you can literally take your message and you can send it over there and it's all scrambled up, and unless you have certain software, you can't even read the message. You have to have that certain software. So basically, you know, there's a browser out there, the Tor browser, that they say was actually originally written by the U.S. Navy. And it would take all this information and it would scramble it and it'd bounce it from server to server so that it couldn't be tracked. Anyway, they said also that the CIA agents out there, if they were the only ones using it, then that would mean that they doggone anybody who knew that particular software, anytime it was being used, they would know that it was an agent that was using it. So they'd be able to easily be tracked. So they made a conscious decision to literally allow anyone to use this specific software for encryption. Of course, we all talk about, you know, privacy. You know, we want to keep our, you know, private things private. But it goes even deeper than all that. Because, you know, what would you give up for security? What would you give up for privacy? Would you give up your freedom? Well, if you go back and you look at the George Orwell's 1984, and you really seriously watch that thing, it'll drive you nuts. And if you go look at the movie The Matrix, that takes you down the rabbit hole yet even deeper. The dark web, as you've heard it on like CNN, MSNBC, ABC, probably even Fox News, and all the different mainstream media outlets talk about a lot of drugs and stuff like that, and you know illegal activities that go on out there. But I wonder how many of those people who are actually involved in those illegal activities know that you have a 50-50 chance of talking to a criminal or a cop. A criminal or a government agent. And that, as sneaky as you might think you're being, maybe some things on there are actually allowed just so that they can find the ones that are of higher crime ranges, so to speak. It's really kind of bizarre. I mean, back whenever I was first into computers, I built my first 5 computers. They were 286s. And, of course, you know, a 286, back in them days, it seemed like it was a good thing, but not really. It was kind of a turkey. But I built them. That was back when you had to have this big old book that told you all the jumper settings and all that kind of stuff. And back then, you could get on what was known as a Unix account. You could get a free Unix account, and you could go under the internet, you know, and that was pretty cool, you know. You could learn some codes and you could run some programs, do that kind of stuff there. And all the wannabe hackers were down underneath there and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Mostly just agitating each other. You know. And I thought that was as deep as it goes. But as time went by, I found out, no, there's more aspects to the internet that you can possibly imagine. You're just standing on the surface right here. You know, it goes way deeper than that. There's multiple levels. There's multiple different internets. Internets within internets and so on. A lot of criminal activities and a lot of terrible, just unmentionable, unthinkable things. I mean, you could quite literally go on there and you can buy anything. And when I say anything, that's exactly what it means. Anything. Don't matter what it is. If you can think about it, there's somebody out there selling it. And it's crazy. But it's like, what do? If you expose the whole entire thing, nobody can be have any kind of anonymous, you can't be on, unless you're known, you can't use the internet, period. So everything that you look at, somebody knows about. Everything that you do and say, somebody knows about. And so, it's like, you got a choice. Either you want to stop these people from doing the things that they're doing completely by not allowing anyone to have secrecy, or in order to preserve some sort of privacy for the user, then you got to allow this to occur. It's like, you're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't kind of thing. So you got government agencies out there actively allowing people to use software that was developed by the military in order to hide their agents out there on the web amongst the crowd of people. And so there's like all kinds of stuff happening simultaneously. You got law enforcement out there, spy versus spy, doing all kinds of things to bring down these criminal activities. In the meantime, they've got to actively allow other criminal activities to go. They got to allow them to be able to do whatever it is they do. But a lot of these folks that use these browsers, like Tor browser and stuff like that, they don't realize that the same people who design the software also know how to get around the software. The same people who design Microsoft know how to get around Microsoft. The same people who design Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, every platform that you're on there, they know how to get around it. And in every instance, when you're on a service provider, they actually have access to your information. They can get on that doggone computer, and they can look in them servers, and they can open up all the files, and they can see your name, your address, your IP, everything, even down to the type of motherboard you actually have in your computer. It's there. And of course, they'll say that they don't share your private information, but actually you just shared it with another individual regardless of whether you wanted to or not. There's somebody there. Do you trust your service provider? Do you trust your government? Do you trust anybody else with your banking information, your private information? Well, apparently we do. We get on there, we download free software and free services, and we don't read the terms of service that says that, you know, hey, you know, we're going to allow you to use our software for free, and all you got to do is allow us to essentially follow you around, see what you like, so we can sell that information to people who want to sell you things. that's the simple portion of it. But that's not even the darkest portion of it. The crazy thing is, no matter what you do on the internet, when you go from this server to that server, you leave a trail everywhere you go. Every single thing that you do, every keystroke that you make on there. So, we're given this illusion of privacy, and so we get out there and we'll do all kinds of things. We'll look up all kinds of things. And when somebody thinks there ain't nobody looking, they're liable to do something that they wouldn't do otherwise. But how do you regulate that? I mean, not to say I want to regulate that, but like I said, if you shut down the dark web and basically bring everything out to light, there's no privacy anywhere. You would think that people would want to do the right thing. But at the same sense, do you trust your government? Do you trust corporations, companies with information? Folks, the internet is quite literally the biggest honey trap in the history of time. When I first started researching into the internet itself, I started realizing that the internet was one big massive advertisement campaign. They wanted to sell you stuff. They wanted to market things to you. But I also started to realize that it was much more than that. That each and every individual user out there was being profiled. So, it's like that nifty little card that you got that you don't have to carry around cash. You can just go to the ATM, get some money if you need it, some cash, or you can just use the card itself, like a credit card, debit card, whatever. All those transactions translated to digital ones and zeros out there in a file somewhere with your name on it that says, hey, such and such went out and bought a bought some chewing tobacco and some wild turkey. And so they know that's what you like. Whether it be digital TV, digital internet, one big giant massive advertisement campaign. One big thing to see what your likes and your dislikes are. Actually know how to, if you're a Republican, you're going to get a conservative feed in your YouTube. If you're a Democrat, you're going to get a liberal news feed. And so all the information from start to finish tailored to your likes and dislikes. The scariest thing about the whole entire deal is that's just the surface. That isn't even the next floor down. That's just the surface. And so we are actively out there sharing every single bit of information about our personal lives with the entire world. The entire world. You get on Facebook and, hey, you know, here's a picture of you in the park, and somebody with facial recognition can actually tell who each individual in that picture is, and with modern day Google mapping the entire world can actually look at the background of that picture and tell you exactly where that picture was taken. And with the timestamp on the actual photo itself can tell you exactly what time that it was taken. So they know that that person, and that person was at this place at this time on this date. Does that scare you? Does that creep you out? It freaks me out, but it probably, there's a whole lot of people out there that says, well, hey, I ain't got nothing to hide. Why would I care? I'm not doing anything illegal. That's the mindset that they want you to have if you're on the surface. Now, when you go down to the dark web, the dark net, the deep web, there's many names for it. When you get down in that area, see, that's where people would think that they actually have anonymity, anonymously can surf and look for things. They can use digital coins to actually buy things, so there's actually no way to trace the money. That's what they believe. They honestly believe that. They believe that when they get down there, they can go down to their deepest, darkest fantasies and do whatever they want without even any kind of notice. But unfortunately, because of the numbers of people that's actually down there on the dark web doing all kinds of dirty deeds, you're just a small fish in the pond. They don't want you. But they got that information right there necessary for the day that you start getting a little bit more powerful. When you get a little bit louder, a little bit more rowdy, a little bit more of a problem. So all that there is right there. Okay, we got this guy. If he ever crosses us, all we got to do is show everybody what this guy's been up to. And so, moving right along, senators, congressmen, all the different politicians of the world, same thing. They thought they were being sneaky. They're down there on that. Yeah, hey, check it out. I can do these things down here. Yeah, we don't need to bust him just yet. We'll wait till he runs for president. Then we'll nail him. So, it's crazy that people actually really seriously do continue to go down that rabbit hole. You got a browser, all right. You got a Tor Onion browser or whatever browser that you got for it's all encrypted. But don't think that the people who actually designed that particular browser don't actually know how to get around it or track it. Think about this for a second. You're the United States Navy. You take this program and you actually write it and you put it out there to all your agents. That would give your agents power to hide from you if you did not have a way to actually track that as well. So in order to be able to give everyone the illusion of being anonymous, you have this browser that's all encrypted and there's no way to track it, and you got to share it with everybody. But the reality is, there are a select few who actually realize that each and every one of those browsers can be specifically tracked to its specific numbers within that. An example of what I'm talking about is if you have software that's licensed through a website, and if you don't pay your bill, they can actually shut that license off. And so when you try to fire that program up after they shut it off, it will not any longer function. It'll say license expired or whatever. So every single software, a copy of every single software out there has its own personal identity markers, which means you have that personal identity marker attached to your profile, and you get to do this because you have that software, you have that license. And so all the folks down there in that dark web who think they're running around in secrecy, all the folks down there on all the different levels of it who believe they have that as well, they don't realize that they're pawns in a massive game. A massive game that at any given instance, they can lose. The crazy thing that takes it even further is that while all of these, like FBI, people searching for pedophiles and actually have to get down in there with them and make the others out there believe that they're part of the crew and they want to do all these things so that they can get the evidence on them. They can get them to do things. They can get them to build a case against themselves. And then at all this time, they're allowing things to occur for the ends justify the means kind of thing. We like to have our privacy. But the way that society is actually going, it's actually going to be almost as if each and every one of us is going to have to live, quite literally, in a transparent house. It's either you allow some or you don't allow none. You can buy drugs on the dark web. You can buy guns on the dark web. You can have people assassinated on the dark web. You can have just about any, I say just about, you can get anything you want if you got the funds on the dark web. The deep web, the dark net, whatever you want to call it. But keep in mind, you have a 50-50 chance talking to a crook or you're talking to a cop. But you have a 0% chance of not leaving a trail. So that ought to be a plus for people out there thinking about it. How do you stop it? How do you catch these creeps? But wait a second. It goes even deeper than that. Senators and congressmen and people of power, police officers and all these different government agencies, people of perceived authority, FBI, CIA, DEA, you name it. Within their ranks are individuals involved in the same thing, both on the good side and both on the bad. Spy versus spy. You think that a lot of these politicians got wealthy for nothing? They only got wealthy because somebody out there allowed them to do so. Keep it in mind that all along, those in charge, those are the ones who know the truth, always have that file right there in the file cabinet. So if they ever cross the wrong line, easily they can be taken down. You ever wonder who's behind all that? You ever wonder who or what actually controls all of this information that we're out here fighting over? It's mind-blowing. And some of the people's deepest, darkest secrets are right there, waiting for that veil to be lifted. I think Barbara mentioned earlier, it might even actually be your neighbor. How you doing, Barbara?
Hey there, Shazuz, and everybody out here in People for People land, and wherever you're listening from, yeah, you're being surveilled. We are being surveilled. It's like, well, that's the web, you know. It's interesting because you said, you Skyped me and you said, do you know anything about the dark web? And I was like, only that it's very, very dark, and I've not been there, and I know there are some people that may go there that don't have any, you know, dark things in their minds, because you can get anything on the dark web, legal or illegal, right?
Are there different levels to darkness? Because how dark can dark get?
How dark can dark be? Well, there are. It seems that you can get anything legal or illegal on the dark web, the deep dark web. So it's not like, I guess, you know, we can't like put everybody in one basket and say, oh, you're on the dark web, that means you're bad. You know, I don't go there, because it's like, okay, just because you're this color, well, you're a robber or you're a rapist or whatever. You know, that's where we get caught up in that insanity. But I've heard a little bit about the, you know, only just little drifts of it. There was a video, actually a documentary coming out of the UK, that FBI and CIA agents were tracking these child sex trafficking groups, and they had to get on the dark web. Of course, they're all aware of it, and they had to become involved in order to arrest these people. And what was on this site, I guess they were on there for months, the FBI and CIA and the police in the UK area. And they said it was really hard for them. It was a struggle to keep continuing to look at what was available in this deepest, darkest part of that deep web, which is child sex trafficking. It's not just the trafficking. It's various other filming of violations against children, babies, and blah, blah, blah. And the police were saying they all needed, most of them needed therapy after they finished, you know, and completed this, you know, process to track down and to actually arrest these people. So I have my own theory about the internet. And I talked about this a while back on the radio. Because I was becoming aware, it's a couple years now, I was becoming aware of how today, and we all know this, but it just kind of like made me think and go out and ask questions to the universe of I want to know why, or what does this really mean kind of thing, that, you know, people don't even communicate with each other anymore. They communicate through their cell phones, and they could be sitting right next to each other. You know, people don't have conversations. I went out to lunch a couple years ago with a friend, and we were sitting there, and there were a lot of people there, and this whole family of four, you know, couple with two children, teenage children, came in, sat down at the next table. They all pulled out their cell phones, and they all sat there looking at their cell phones. People go to, you know, like tourists' adventures, and they all have their cell phones, taking selfies, falling off cliffs, killing themselves. And I was looking at that, and I was thinking, well, all these young people today, I don't have a cell phone. I have one in the car for emergency in case, but I don't get up in the morning and I don't sleep with my cell phone, keep it by the bed. I don't get up in the morning. That's the first thing I do is open up my cell phone. My cell phone, I don't have a cell phone. It does not run my life, but it runs people's lives, is what I'm saying.
Just think about transhumanism whenever they're talking about merging machine with man. You know, right now you got that cell phone, which is basically like the first stage of transhumanism because your brain is like suddenly attached to this thing. You're addicted to it. You see what I mean?
Well, it's it's really interesting to me because, well, I guess it's Elon Musk who has this new thing he's going to put out maybe for 2024 by 2025. I don't know, wherever. But it's coming soon to a neighborhood near you where you can get that chip in your brain, you know, and that kind of thing. He's already working on that. But I went out and was asking the universe, the way I find out things, I connect with the universe, this what is sacred source, and I ask, what is this about? And I was told to separate the words internet, we say internet, but you know how words are spells, right?
Yeah.
And so I got the word, I separated, like I was told to separate the word internet into internet. So now you know what internment is?
Basically, everybody's being rounded up and crowded into, a control mechanism. They're basically being trapped.
Well, but when you're interned, you're dead. A body is interned in a tomb. Internment. That's what that means.
Well, spiritually, yeah, we would be dead.
Well, so think about that. So then what's the net? What's a net? A net captures prey.
Yep.
So internet, that's what that really represents. It's interning everyone to become zombies, dead, literally dead, I guess it's sort of like your spirit is dead, your soul is dead, your mind is dead, you have no, you know, conscious awareness, you're just dead. You're dead. You're glued to this thing. You're caught in the net of this machine. So that's how I look at that word internment.
I want to address something real quick. This comment that Chris Maresh put in the chat room, but I wanted to say something about on the surface, out here on the surface web, which I'm talking the top layer of the web where we're on right now.
Yeah.
Out here in the surface world, we are literally being desensitized to, accept certain things that normally most of us weren't raised to accept. These things are becoming more acceptable.
Well, they're normalized. They're being
normalized. Now,
yep.
Now, to the comment that Chris Maresh put in the chat room, I think it was regarding when I said how dark could it get. It said it can get so dark. He said it can get so dark, can watch people playing a game with someone's life to the point that they actually die.
Yeah.
And there are sites out there like that where people will literally gather in these rooms and they can put comments in these things and tell them what they want them to do to the person next.
Well, your average Joe, Mary and Joe, there was a case of this young woman who basically was texting her boyfriend because he was going through a lot of emotional depression and whatever, something was wrong in his life, and she was telling him every day, kill yourself, just kill yourself, kill yourself, just kill. Well, he finally did, and she actually was brought up to trial and went to prison, this young woman, for pushing him to kill himself, commit suicide. This is beyond my comprehension. Then there was this maybe some of you know, I'm going to say it was the Thin Man, maybe Chris knows this creature, I think it was called the Thin Man.
Slender Man.
Yeah, remember that Slender Man stuff? Man,
yep.
That was... I did a study on that Slender Man stuff because these two girls, young girls, like 13, 14, I guess I'm going to say, actually were involved in the Slender Man game or whatever that web part of the web was, and they believed this existed, and they were basically came to discern, or I guess that they were, I don't know whether they were told or guided to sacrifice someone, to kill someone, for Slender Man. And they actually did this. They took a friend of theirs, another girl, into the forest. This was a famous case a couple of years ago. And they proceeded to kill this girl. Well, they thought they killed her. They left her for dead, and she crawled out to the, out of the woods and onto a bike trail, and somebody coming along on a bike found her. These are young girls. They're like, you know, I was blown away at this. This is sick, but this is what's going on. To me, it's the most evil and dark thing that is happening, and you have to ask, and I said to you before, maybe it's, if I were the devil, like, you know, like our friends, if I were the devil, I'd make sure that I had a system that would be able to brainwash people into doing horrifying things, the most unbelievable things that you could imagine, that it would brainwash these people, innocent children and men and women, to do the most horrible, ugly, vicious, violent things against another human being and think that it's okay. They would not have feelings. They would not have morals. Everything would be down the tubes. It would become normal to see and watch, like Chris says, people killing someone. And that's if I were the devil. That's what I would set up.
Have you ever heard of the Anarchist Cookbook?
It's kind of, but I'm not really sure.
Well, essentially, it's a book where they tell you all kinds of things, like how to make bombs and poisons and all this kind of stuff. But there's a second side of the deal.
We might be interfered with because your voice just went wobbly. I'm just saying because of what we're talking about. You know, because there are algorithms. You missed that point. Algorithms, when you're talking, like what we're talking about, or when you're Googling for something, there's algorithms that pick you out. I'm just saying.
Well, hopefully we don't have those problems. So for those spy versus spy people out there, we're just discussing the subject. So anyway, the Anarchist Cookbook is literally a book that you can buy on the internet that talks about how to make bombs and improvise weapons and all kinds of stuff like that, poisons or whatever. And there's actually a conspiracy out there that this book was actually written improperly, or where these things don't actually work, or they're more designed to actually hurt the person who tries to make these things. So, you know, you wonder, number one, what kind of mindset would actually write a book, putting everything in there that could potentially harm somebody, and then have impressionable minds out there that they tell about this book, that would literally get this book and either get themselves or somebody else hurt in the process of it. That's just one little teeny tiny little fraction of what we're talking about.
Well, let's talk. So I have this site. It's called 15 Most Scariest Horrifying Sites on the Deep Web, and there are many found. So fun, these awful experiments. So basically the stories of the dark web, but have you ever visited the sites that are too horrifying and disturbing? No, of course not, I haven't, and I won't. But I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. I don't have to. I'm not really curious, because I think it's a web that captures you. Like you become like that bug in the spider's web.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's the human experiment. This is one. It's considered one of the most disturbing sites on the dark web. They experiment actually with living people, like similar to what Chris was talking about. But here's some creepy things. They're actually injecting bleach into pregnant women. There's starvation, there's sterilization, there's radiation exposure, several other types of tortures. It's the human experiment is a warehouse of, well, they say scariest human experiments, but I say it's horrific. And they possibly do their experiments on the homeless people, it is said here, who are more, you know, the site has a tagline, not all humans are equal. Listen to this, for some of them, we're born superior to others. That's a tagline on the site. That kind of thinking. Okay, they torture the homeless people and they live stream this to the user. Animal abuse, and there's other explicit content. They're summoning demons. Who in their right mind would want to summon a demon? But there are people not in their right minds, just saying, that would find this a perfect link for them. Yeah. And then there's cannibal forums. Yes. Cannibal forums.
That's disgusting. Gosh.
Yeah, you can find the cyber cannibalistics disgusting on how they feel when eating a man or a woman's internal organs. Yeah, you can find that stuff.
The question is, where did they get this man or woman that they're eating? So that you
well,
only
I just said to you, homeless.
Yeah, you only
or
got two options.
Or there's trafficking. There's child sex trafficking, and they do all kinds of things on these sites. These are filmed. This is on these porn sites, for instance, you can get any type of porn that they're available. Any most disturbing, horrific thing that you could do or think you'd want to do or whatever experience. I saw a couple of years ago the police that are seeking out and searching down pedophiles, the porn sites and so on, they noticed a change. This was about 2 years ago. The police, the CIA, FBI, whomever is tracking down these people on these sites, noticed a change. What they noticed, and this is completely disturbing, what they noticed was, well, it's soft porn, right? At the beginning, it's called soft porn. Yeah, two adults are doing whatever and so on, right? They're consenting to this because they're adults and they're being filmed for that purpose. But it shifted to something darker and something more horrific involving children, babies even. Right, and the police started to notice this, and it's not just it involved torture, it involved violation and torture and even death of innocent children and babies on these porn sites. Though they noticed this change, they noticed that. So how on earth is that happening? What's going on in the minds of people? You know, I'm just saying, this is where we are today, and that's why I keep saying there's something evil afoot here. I can't help but say it. I've been saying this for a couple of years. We are battling something so dark and so evil, and it is right in our face. But now you have this, who would go to these dark, dark, deepest dark places to look for this illegal stuff that they can participate in or observe, right? Yes, they hire people to kidnap people. Yes.
Well,
right.
Did you know YouTube has a terms of service that talks about, hateful and, content and different types of, explicit content and all that. But did you know that YouTube actually has a connection in the pornography industry?
I did not know.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not surprised So here, I just want to say one more thing about this site. There are warnings here. It says, Tor usage is being watched. It says, be secure. Be anonymous. Protection. Use VPN. Tor usage is watched. Be secure. Be anonymous. Okay? Protection from ISP. Use VPN to hide. But Tor usage is the way you get onto these, Tor browser is the only way you can get onto these specialized sites.
Yep. There are other browsers out there like it that have different names, but they're all basically the same thing that they, the only way that you can access these certain sites is with those types of browsers that have encryption technology in them. There's actually a deep web on the actual internet itself. The deep web is all those sites that can't be reached through a normal Google browser or any of the other known browsers. There are sites out there like, for example, ShazizRadio.com would be considered in the deep web. Because when you come to ShazizRadio.com, it's got a warning sign on there that says not secure. Even though I pay for a secure certificate, but I'm just borderline on the opposite side, right there on the edge of the deep web, sites that can't be accessed by your normal browser. And at some point in time, it would probably literally shift over to being completely inside the deep web. So all those sites that you go to, the HTTP sites that you used to be able to go to all the time with any browser, are getting to the point where if it doesn't have that security certificate on there, that you won't be able to access it with your normal browser. But with a Tor browser, I would be able to access any of those sites.
Right. Well, this link I got here, it's called the title is the FBI hacked Tor to hunt down pedophiles on the deep web. So the FBI has taken down the site. Now, this was 2016. I know they're still involved in this, but the FBI has taken down a site involved in child pornography through some hacking techniques that have never been used in the history of law enforcement. I don't know what those hacking techniques are, but again, they can do anything, you see. In October last year, the FBI hacked Tor browser and caught thousands of pedophiles. And now a website by the name of Playpen registered in 2014 for the purpose of sharing images, but in reality it was designed to advertise and distribute child pornography. The site was only available on the dark web, which meant the site was not available for view through conventional means of surfing the internet. So the dark web is a perfect platform for the cyber criminals, as it allows them to carry out their activities without getting noticed, as with the conventional form of surfing on the internet. They can report to the agencies, all right, if anyone finds anything that is not appropriate, yes, they ask you to report to the FBI. But the dark web, it is difficult for anyone to find a web address, even for the agencies. But while investigating Playpen, FBI found it had over 215,000 members and has 117,000 posts published with 11,000 unique visitors each week. Each week. Posts include posts in relation to extreme child abuse, images, and also advice on how sex abusers can keep their identities hidden. So the FBI seized the site's computer server in Lenoir, North Carolina in February of 2015 and ran the site from their own servers from 20th February 4th to March 2015. Throughout this two-week period, the FBI employed a technique known as Network Investigative Technique, NIT. Basically, it's a hacking tool that uncovers 1,300 IP addresses from a single warrant and unveils actual identities of the visitors visiting the site. So, yeah, they were able to track down the users from the pornographer's site, and they were able to hack into 1,000 computers with just a single warrant, which creates a big question mark on whether agencies like the FBI should be allowed to use such tools. Yeah, that's the question. Yeah, there we go. So far, 1,500 cases have been registered in relation to the pornography site starting from July 2015, when two men were arrested. Several people have been arrested in the same area, same year, and beginning in New Year, court documents shows arrests from Connecticut, Massachusetts, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Florida, Utah, and Wisconsin. 1,500 or so of these cases are going to end up getting filed. Underlying investigation, blah, blah, blah. There will probably be an escalating stream of these cases in the next 6 months or so, this agent said. There is going to be a lot in the pipeline. In a way, I'm glad that they can do this, you know. I really am, because we're talking extreme child abuses.
Yep. And once again, it's also a double-edged sword when it comes to privacy as far as that. So, you know, you like to say, you're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't. But the thing about, you know, YouTube has got, like I said, they got a doggone, what do they call it, terms of service thing. They violate their own terms of service because they actually have a service for YouTube porn. And kids can access this, but they can't access it from an account that has a date that they've already established that they're too young. They actually have to create a second account with something that has an older date on there and go through, you know, the sneaky process of verifying it or whatever. But nonetheless, it's still, even Facebook, YouTube, all of them, they all have a dark side to them. Google and YouTube, they go hand in hand. Google has, on their servers just as much porn as the next guy. And so what else do they got on there? You know, when you do a Google search, do a Google search for any term that you can possibly imagine. Teen porn, child porn, whatever, you're going to find something on there. Now, to access it with what people perceive to be anonymity or anonymously, you have this Tor browser, which is supposed to do it, when in reality actually Google has an incognito mode. All right, but nothing's incognito, nothing's in privacy. When you go down that rabbit hole with these browsers, you got to realize that the folks who actually wrote this for their, you know, spying purposes also knew how to get around them as well. So you're living in the information age. Now, maybe you go down and you look at all these nasty things, you know, to each his own, whatever you're into. That's your business, all right? But when it gets into starting to mess around with kids or, you know, drugs that are harmful to people out there or guns and murder and kidnapping and all that kind of stuff, that's when the thing changes from, you know, you're just out there doing your nasty thing to now you're into the legal system where you're crime. You're actually involved in crimes. You know, having in your possession child pornography is a crime, literally. However, how does Google, how does YouTube, how do all these server platforms out there have a legal right to have this on their servers when it's illegal for them to actually, you know, it's illegal for you to actually possess this?
Well, that's a good question, because, you know, they're deleting people who are talking about the corrupt government.
Yeah.
They're attacking people like us, you know.
Yeah.
We're just talking the truth. So this is an interesting, so I'm talking about the numbers here. So there's the most popular adult site in the world is called Live Jasmine. So it's a webcam site, but there were about, listen to this, 32 million visitors a month, just a month.
Wow.
That's like 2.5% of all internet users. It's the most popular adult site on the web. Okay, so, but what's going on here is 2.5% of the billion people on the internet are using this porn site each month.
Yep.
2.5 billion.
That's pretty crazy. Imagine if we had that many, you know, people coming visiting our site. You know, our site would probably get shut down. That'd be too much traffic to this site.
Well, it's the 3 billion online porn industry.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, basically 16 million viewers a month on this, on Pornhub. You know, it's big money being made here. Again, it's like, you know, the money, follow the money. But I just wonder about people, about how we came to this, how humanity has come to this, where you have such high percentages of people looking at these sexual deviant horror.
Well, the simple of it is, if you get back up here on the surface area, the surface, the outside world that you walk in, and the surface web that we're actually on right now. Well, this is the top layer. We're out here in public, we're talking, and sometimes when we hit certain subjects, they interrupt our talking because they don't want us saying certain things. But nonetheless, when you're out here and you look at what every generation becomes more acceptable, you said normalized, that was the better term.
Yeah.
Everything's become normalized. So
yeah.
When you were looking at movies where, you know, they're depicting people getting murdered all the time, and people start, you know, finding,
well,
you know,
video games.
Yeah.
I mean, you have all this introduction into this arena where it's almost real for you. You're playing these games and, you know, you're blowing people up and then they reform themselves like magic. It's just like the same thing with the cartoons.
Yep.
We grew up with cartoons, you know, where the roadrunner's being run over by a truck and then gets up and starts running around again, or somebody blows somebody up and they come back together again and continue on.
Yeah, so they're desensitizing people to watching this type of content, and so if anybody wants to look deeper into it, like to feed that new that they got, they can go down in the dark web and they can actually see real stuff going on. But to them, it's not necessarily real.
To them,
real.
It's not real.
Yeah.
They're detached. They're disconnected and detached from emotion. Their sensory abilities are dumbed or numbed or cut off. Okay, so we were desensitized to war during the Vietnam War. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
When you sit down to dinner, as soon as you sat down to dinner, then there were families existing more, and everybody sat down to dinner, but the TV was on, and sure enough, you know, they'd come on with the news, the threat of the Vietnam War, and they'd be showing, you know, the horror of that war.
Yeah, but the crazy thing is that those families, even though that was playing in the background, wouldn't be necessarily watching that TV, but they would be laughing and just carrying along, doing their normal daily thing, while there was terrifying news that was...
Well, it was subliminal, you see. They're subliminal. Yeah. It's a psychological warfare we are dealing with. This stuff is subliminal, but it starts to affect people's experience. So it's within your mind. It plays in your mind. It's like a, you know, injected... indoctrinated into your mind, into your conscious mind. And so, I mean, I told you years ago, like 10 years ago, I had people coming to me talking. They wanted to talk about things. They needed help and guidance, and they were saying they're almost ashamed and embarrassed to talk to me about what's been going on. I said, well, you know, it's okay. It stays here between us. But I wasn't surprised when they started telling me that they were hearing these weird, creepy thoughts or seeing these things in their mind's eye. And these were highly sexualized, deviance types of things, you know, in their mind, telling them to do this or just crossing their mind. Like, and they were freaked out by it. They said, that's not my thoughts, and I don't know what's going on. This is creepy. I feel creepy. I feel, you know, yucky, and so on. And I was told by spirit, the information I got, that there is an intrusive energy, entity energies, coming demonic energies that are getting into people's minds, telling them, showing them creepy, horrible things to
do. I believe that. I believe it's like quite literally demons on people's back whispering in their ear saying, yeah, check that out. Nobody will ever know. That kind of thing, you know.
Well, yeah. So people were having these really creepy, dark thoughts and imageries. And they were freaking out about it, and that told me that there's something at foot here, something at work here. And then you have...
It will literally make you start to question, are you a bad person and everything? Knowing, you know your own heart, right? But then if you get these thoughts in your head...
But listen, there are people who don't have the ability to discern that that's not my thoughts, that this is an intrusive energy.
Yeah.
This is intrusive, this is not of the light, this is not sacred, this is not divine, this is dark. But there are people out there that cannot discern this, and there are people that will act upon this.
Yep.
It's like a brainwashing. It's a brainwashing, not like, it is a brainwashing. It's an indoctrination to get people to do such horrible things. So they act upon this like those girls with the Slender Man.
Yep.
You know, these girls don't have the tools. They're innocent girls. They're young. They don't have the tools to discern and say, wait a minute, this is not right. This is evil. This is dark. What are we doing?
There was one killer in history that said the dogs told him to kill somebody.
Well, Cruz, that young man Cruz, who went to school and killed 17 students, he said in his interview with the police, I heard in my head, the voice kept telling me, kill, kill, kill. Now, then you have other people who say, well, they killed their child, their baby, because they were told it was a demon in that baby. I'm telling you, this is serious, and this is going on, and this is the brainwashing, the indoctrination of to do harm, and it is really rampant.
So how do we defend ourselves against that? That's the thing, you know.
You have to, again. It's like I go back to the spiritual connectedness. You could say you go back to your creator. Or, you know, you have a foundation, you have a strong foundation, you have that connection, that's a power, that's an energy there. So you have that connection. There's something that people have when they have this. Of course, we call it critical thinking, we call it discernment, right? We call it morals. But the system has been shutting off your critical thinking. The system has been deliberately indoctrinating you where you don't have any morals. You
know, I believe that.
And so... So when you have people who don't have a foundation of a spiritual connection, they don't have any faith, they don't have something that they can latch on to that will save them, literally. You know, it's sort of like when you're being attacked, you know, like, as you know, like in the war or anything that's going on, the first thing people say is, help me God, or God, or oh my God, you know, it's like that type of thing. People have a faith, and it comes out in the worst scenarios, the worst circumstances, people turn to God. But there are people who are so detached and so separated from this connectedness to source you know, they're told that it doesn't exist, that there is no God, and blah, 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 or, you know, they start getting information about the evil or the devil, or these are all things that people are dealing with. Humanity is dealing with these things. And when you constantly see in the mainstream media and movies and video games and books and various other things of the horrors that people are able to do to each other, you become numb. It becomes normalized again. The same thing with, yes, an angeling says, well, I don't know. It is the system, because there are people that have indoctrinated this system deliberately. They are not people. They are, to me, not people. They're not human. They may appear, but he said it's bad people using chemicals and hypnotism. Well, everything that we're dealing with, we have the indoctrination from the system, and I have to keep saying that because the system is run by evil people, but they're not people, they're not human. So our system is indoctrinating us with chemicals, fluoride, chemtrails, the food that we eat, the vaccines that we get, the information we get in school, the political arena, everything about us, the education system, everything is manipulating us to believe in the authorities, and the authorities are part of the system that are not human. That's where I go with this. So it's not you and me, people. You know, it's the people who are basically vulnerable, especially children. Children, when do they start our education? They start our education, of course, by our parents, who have already been educated and indoctrinated according to the system. The system wants us to be dumbed down and reliant and dependent upon them. That's how this works. It is a dark system. Talk about the dark web. It is a dark web, and they caught people in it. You know, and people are, you know, especially when you're a child, you don't have discernment like those girls with the Slender Man and that other young woman telling her boyfriend to kill himself and so on. So, you know, you have the people's ability, to use their discernment tools are weakened or destroyed completely. The morals are down the tubes. It becomes normalized to see these horrors. War is normalized. Violence is normalized. Porn is normalized. All these things are normalized. And when you start, you know, getting this information when you're very young, through magazines, sexualizing girls, and all the confusion, you start getting that when you're really young. But this has been generations, this plan that has been going on, basically to make people very vulnerable, to not be able to discern, you know, right from wrong, dark from light, or evil from good. You know, it's now it's become good is evil, and war is good, and, you know, so on. War is peace. So all these, this confusion where people can't even think straight. And then on top of it, they're all trying to survive. And the reason they're all trying to survive is because the system has been set up so they can't survive. And they're reliant upon the authorities to tell them how to survive, but the authorities is lying to them. This is the mess that we are in. So I'm just saying.
Let's talk a second about vampires. Vampirism or whatever. You know, there's a segment of society that believe that they're vampires.
Yeah.
They're like kids.
I do. Oh, no, I do. Well, that's part of indoctrination as well. I mean, there are sites that you can get on, we're looking at the cannibalism, how to torture animals, bestiality, all this stuff is on the dark web. And people are more and more recently are getting arrested for bestiality. So this is like, you know, they don't necessarily, here's how I look at this, what's going on. Okay. This is how dark this is, this web. We're all connected, right? We talk about the sacred web, meaning, yeah, there is that sacred web, by the way, and how we are energetically connected, and everything is about frequency. All things in life, all creation, including us, consists of energies and frequencies. So when you have this darkness, this evilness, basically in the ethers, okay, it's the frequency. You could call them waves of frequency of information. You know, the electromagnetic waves or whatever you want to call it, the waves that touch everything. That's the web. So So if you have this type of spike in certain things going on, like cannibalism started to appear, I think maybe 3 years ago, maybe four, reports of people, you know, especially in Russia. I found this interesting. Russia seemed to be a focal point for cannibalism, but it's happened in this country as well and probably others. I haven't done a search on it. I just started to notice these things popping up in the news. Cannibalism, how bizarre is that? There was one circumstance here in the United States where this guy, a young fella, maybe he was in his 30s, basically killed his neighbors and cannibalized them. And I started looking at this. How bizarre is that? Cannibalism. Okay, so where did that come from suddenly? You know, it's the same kind of thing. Where did this come from suddenly? Yes, and yes, the bestiality too. I started to notice people being arrested for bestiality. You know, men and women. Where did that come from? I mean, it's nothing new. Now, I'm not saying, oh, suddenly here we are in the 20th century, 21st century, where, oh, suddenly bestiality. No, there's always been this frequency. This entity from the beginning of time has always been present. You could call it a devil if you want. I don't care what you call it. It's something that exists, that is very dark, that talks to people in their mind. Now they have billboards that talk to people in their minds. But we're talking the ethers here, the web. So you have, you get a call from your friend and they say, oh, I've been thinking about you. I said, oh, well, I was thinking about you, too. I'm glad you called. I mean, we are so connected this way. So, and that's a positive thing. Oh, I'm so happy to hear from you. I'm glad you called. I miss you. I love you. But then you have the other stuff. Oh, somebody sending out some creepy, what, they're watching a porn site. They're watching a site where there's bestiality going on or who knows what's going on. And that goes out through the web. That frequency, that energy, that low, dark frequency goes out through the web. And if you are a vulnerable person, meaning that you cannot discern or you're not connected to the light, you're going to be affected by that, and you will not discern that this is coming from a dark entity, and you'll act upon it instead.
Well,
because your morals, your capacity's down the tubes. What?
That would explain why they say that people who claim to be vampires are in the thousands. Demographics transcending class, race, gender, and so on. But there's an actual article out there that you can find on theguardian.com.
Oh, I'm sure. But I'm sure. I'm sure there's a percentage of people that would probably blow your mind. It could be your neighbor.
But Hollywood, you know, we always go back to the movies that they show Hollywood. You know, Paul Harvey said, you know, you threaten the world with dirtier movies and so on down the line. Anyway, the people glorify being vampires. They actually have miniseries out there about vampires. They have miniseries about witchcraft and all kinds of stuff. But it's glorified. And the youth that are, you know, impressionable already, they might decide they want to try to be a vampire. You know?
Well, the youth are lost. The youth are lost, and that's a deliberate thing, too. Nobody's talking to these kids. They're on their cell phones. Their parents are on their cell phones. There's no family system anymore. There's, you know, all this stuff is happening. So you have these young people who are looking for something. Yeah, and they come across these glorified vampire sites or these glorified whatevers. And, you know, become a Luciferian, become a devil worshiper, you know, and so on and so forth. They're looking for something, okay? They're searching for something, and the entities know that.
Yep.
This will make you feel good. You will be important. You will be welcomed into our family. Vampirism or porn family or whatever it is, you'll be welcome. Somebody cares about you. I mean, this is how cults, this is how cults are formed.
The ironic thing is that the Satanists will tell you that they don't believe in Satan. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, they'll tell you, well, they'll tell you what they want. Yeah. Anybody, they'll tell you what they want to tell you. You know, or they, you know, listen, Lucifer is the light bringer.
Yeah.
Lucifer is the real God. You know, that's the real God.
Yeah, that's the kind of things that they believe, though. You know, it's crazy. You know, but how did, like you said earlier, how did we get here? That's the question. How do we get
well,
here?
To
so
me, that was to
like
me.
That?
To me, that's the deliberate dark plan. is to get us here to this place where people have no morals, where people are lost, where people are confused, where people are choosing things that, you know, like a cult, you know, like a site or a link that will tell them, you know, become a vampire, or this is cool, this is really cool, you know, whatever it is. We have gotten here through centuries of lies, disinformation, and indoctrination. You know, this is the plan. This is somebody's plan. The somebody, I'm going to say, I have to go there, is because it's something that wants to destroy what is sacred. And you are sacred. These children are sacred. Those girls who did that horrible thing to their friend, they're sacred. But now they're corrupt. They've been taken and utilized by something dark. To me, I had to ask the question years ago, after looking at everything I've been looking at, after going down these rabbit holes and seeing the evil, seeing the darkness and the horrible things that people are doing, political people in the arenas that we know, in the education system, in the political system, and so on and so forth, even in the churches, all the churches, what's going on, I said. What is going on? The destruction, the horrors that they're doing, and then you take what they're doing to the earth, the pollution, the cutting, the rain, destruction of the rainforest. What the heck is going on? And the answer came from Spirit that said, it is what wants to destroy the sacred. The sacred includes babies, us, teens, adults, and the Mother Earth and all of this sacred creation. Yep. And where do you go from there? Who is it then that wants to? Well, you can go to Lucifer, the bad angel who was sent down to the earth to reign 1,000 years and corrupt everybody, and see how you're going to do now. You're in a big school. Oh, what are you going to choose? You have free will. I gave you free will. What kind of a plan is that? It's a messed up plan, in my estimation. Who started all this insanity, you know? But here's the thing I'm looking at, and I haven't gone so deep in it, but I'm going to go and we'll report on it soon. We talk about the duality. We talk about the dark, light, good, evil, positive, negative stuff. But you know what? That's a ruse. Okay? What is real is something that is very difficult for us to identify. And this is where I can't really speak on it so fully yet, but I'm looking at this, and this is like one of those aha moments, okay? It's sort of like there are ancient wise people who speak about that the duality is a trap, right? I'm just going to start there. Maybe you guys want to do some research on this too. I don't know, just Google, duality is a trap.
Well, I'll tell you, with everything that we've talked about, all the different subjects, it would not surprise me in the least if vampires were real. It wouldn't.
Oh, listen, of course they're real. They are real. These people believe they're vampires. But look at the ancient information. Look at Vlad the Impaler, you know, was the vampire.
Vlad the Impaler.
I have to say, but this is about sacrifice. This is about sacrificing to something darker, okay? I mean, there are people that are incarcerated in asylums, you know, that have acted upon these evil things, like a vampire, you know, or whatever, cannibalism, so on. But these people they believe that this is what they are. So therefore, they are. I'm just saying, so what you believe in, you become.
Cannibalism's one that I can't get a grip on. I can't, for some reason.
Well, there were ancient cultures that did practice cannibalism.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, in my mind, I just can't. I guess because we live in a civilized world, if that's
well,
what you want to call
it. We live in a civilized world. We think that we're intelligent beings, that we've reached a certain level of, you know, awareness of consciousness. We've stepped away from the cannibalism, you know, of the ancient people who were ignorant, who weren't worldly, who weren't intelligent, or whatever they call them. You know, stone-wielding people who ate each other. You know, we're no better than that, it looks like.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's mind-blowing.
So I'm looking at this, so the duality thing I find very curious, and again, I wish I could speak on it more here. But to do a study on this, because I'm starting to look at deeper things in relation to ancient studies and, you know, looking at the far-reaching rabbit hole about duality is a trap, okay? Because it is all the same. I'm going to go that far, but I'm looking at how can it be all the same? Well, light is dark, dark is light, okay? Good is good, there's good, evil, but they are really all one and the same. You know, and I don't know how to quite explain that yet, but I'm just starting in the very, very, very tip of this web, of this rabbit hole, to go there. And I want to know more about it so I can talk about it, because in my way, I want to be able to discuss and report the truth of things, you know. Maybe we've been fooling ourselves, I'm just saying. Maybe we have been duped, and I know we have been duped, but maybe in this arena we have been duped as well. You know, I'm going there because that's very possible. We've been lied to on so many levels. We've been manipulated. You know, our abilities to know the truth has been corrupted and kept from us. We've been lied to for centuries, right? To yep. believe in certain things. I'm just saying. And Chris says wild animals are more tame than most humans. Well, it's interesting about what's happening with the animals. More and more and more on the Facebook, for instance, and pictures and news, you'll see animals doing strange things, like animals that would ordinarily be killing each other are actually helping each other, right? And animals showing emotion, like actual compassion, you know? This is where we should be. We should be showing compassion. We should be. But the animals are showing us, okay? Just saying.
Well,
you know?
Well, here's a dirty secret about the whole deal. I'm going to go back to YouTube again for a second. Because YouTube's in business to make money. They put up this beautiful face front, you know, and they have these terms of services that say all these things that they won't accept on their deal. However, there's videos that go all the way back to one, for example, is in 2015. It basically got 24.8 million views on it. Now, 24.8 million views with somebody's advertising on there means that YouTube makes a fat load of cash for every one of these videos. And so, on the surface, they're going to tell everybody, look, yeah, we won't allow this or that or whatever on there. They even take down people who have conservative views on there. They censor people who don't have the right political, or even censor to some extent the people who deny climate change. They'll put the little banner ad up underneath there from a Wikipedia article that talks about global warming and climate change and stuff. But in reality, the hypocrisy is that on their servers, they're in possession of this pornography. Google, same thing. On their servers, they have possession of it. But the things that you can find on Google and the things that you can find on YouTube, Facebook, and all the other different platforms out there, they don't even scratch the surface of the sickness that is on the portion of the web that the majority of the people who are on the web have no idea even exists. But those who do, they think that they can be sneaky with these browsers and they can go down in this dark web down there and they can just do whatever they want and say whatever they want. And a lot of people do, and they do get by with it for the longest times ever. Until you step on the wrong toes, this system will allow you to do ungodly things. But the moment you cross paths with the wrong person, it only takes one person in this world. You make the wrong person in this world mad. You get underneath their skin. They literally have the power to destroy your life. Now tell me that isn't creepy. But it's reality. The world we live in, I'm telling you, Barbara, you've hit the nail on the head. The spiritual battle that we're in, it's off the scale. But just the human aspect of it. Just the fact that we, you know, you go out here, we try to talk about all these positive things, and we try to bring around hope and everything like that, which I still believe in. I still firmly believe in that. You don't have to choose to go down that dark road. You don't have to do that. That's a personal choice amongst yourself. But you have to understand that for every actions is a consequence. And those negative thoughts that you've got running through your head, you're not the only one thinking those. But they would like you to think you're the only one thinking those. They would like you to believe that you're not a good person, that you're a terrible person. You know, at one time in my life, I actually even questioned whether or not I could quite literally be the Antichrist. I actually thought that about myself at one point. Now, where did that come from? Because I know within my heart that I got goodness in my heart that can't come from that dark side. But every once in a while, I get these crazy thoughts that run through my head. Where are they coming from? They're not mine. I know they're not mine. That's not my spirit. That's not my soul. And I know that every single person out here who attempts to do something good is constantly under attack. Every time you come out there, you try to raise a crowd and point out the common sense and the good things in this world, you come under attack. People for People Radio is a wonderful, wonderful place to go meet people. It is a peopleforpeople.ning.com. Go check them out. They're awesome people there. They're people with all kinds of different points of view. They're just people like yourself. They got families, they got jobs, they got dreams, hopes, and everything. But their website, ShazizRadio.com, both of us, we have a hard time saying the things that we'd say. We have a hard time talking because we either get censored or we get tampered with. There's a little tag that goes up there on our websites that says not secure. It's aggravating. It is really seriously aggravating because I actually physically pay for a secure certificate. My site's not dangerous, but you could go down into a website that has things that are so illegal, so explicit, so terrifying beyond all recognition, and you can just walk right in the door like ain't nothing. You can go on YouTube. You can walk right in the door. YouTube's a beautiful place, right? Hey, it's a nice building. Got all these cool things, all these wonderful people. You got safety, you got security, all that kind of stuff. But in the background of YouTube itself, you got women being exploited. You got children being exploited. You got filthy things being said on there about every different faith that you can possibly imagine. You got things that go on YouTube. They teach you how to build a bomb. They teach you how to build a gun. They'll sit there and cry gun control. They'll sit there and talk about, you know, fight against child pornography. They'll sit there and talk about how the illegal aliens are being mistreated. They'll sit there and talk about all kinds of subjects. But the moment you get out there and you start trying to talk about solutions for those problems, the hypocrisy kicks in. Suddenly you're being suppressed. Suddenly if you're a conservative voice, you're no longer welcome. If you ain't willing to be accepted of a man who thinks he's a woman that dresses like a woman, or maybe just a man who likes to dress like a woman, if that's not your deal, just keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing. Don't talk about your point of view. Your right to freedom of speech only is as good as till the point when you disagree. The moment you disagree with the system, the moment you disagree with the government, the moment you disagree with anything that is immoral, then that is when you, yourself, begin to be censored and become the target of the system. Now, I've witnessed this firsthand. And many, 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 many people, more than you can count. You ain't got enough fingers amongst all of you listening. You don't have enough fingers to count how many conservative voices have been literally depersoned and deplatformed. And that's because they wanted to try to fight the darkness. They wanted to try to fight the evil. They wanted to try to expose the corruption. People within the FBI, the CIA, the DEA, the NSA, Secret Service, and all these different good people in there, amongst the bad people in there, constantly in a war between good and evil, constantly in a battle of information. We are set there and told that we can't trust our government, which we can't trust our government. That's crazy. So you can't trust your elections. You can't trust your government. You can't trust the media. You can't trust one another. And so what do we got to stand on? Well, I got Barbara. She's the one I can trust. I got People for People Radio. I can trust these folks. I can trust all the folks that are in my circle. At least I believe that. But do you see how this could literally lead somebody down a road to where, you know, they're so paranoid that they believe in every kind of conspiracy theory under the sun? Who put these conspiracies out there? Was it the government agents want to keep us busy over here, preoccupied, going down the rabbit hole? While meanwhile, back at the ranch, old Snively Whiplash has got his arm so deep in the cookie jar, he's about to fall in. And all this thing, see, I'm not anti-government. If you choose you want to have a government, that's fine, but they need to know their place. I'm anti-corruption. I'm anti-exploitation. I don't want people exploiting women. I'm a man. I look at a woman, she's wearing nice clothes or a bikini. I got natural urges. But do I think it's all right for them to do what they do to these ladies? No. I don't think it's all right. Definitely don't think it's all right to do this to children under a certain age. For anybody that matter. But for these companies out there like YouTube to literally be hypocrites and say, oh, well, we're not going to allow you to curse on there. We're not going to allow you to curse on the radio. We're not going to allow you to curse on TV. When at the same exact time on their platform, on their servers, they have smut. They have a portion of the dark web that most people don't even know is even on YouTube. They make money off of this. Google makes money off of this. This internet, this thing that we think, you know, it's a powerful tool if you use it properly. It's any tool. You take a hammer. A hammer can be used for building, and it can be used for tearing down as well.
Well, it's just like the new technology that we are given, that is in the ethers for anyone to align with and be given and to take on, can be used for good or evil. And this is where we get into trouble, because then we have greed, okay? Because we have greedy people who are taking these technologies and using them for what is dark.
Yeah. Well,
I want to look at this. All right, go ahead before I go into this deception of duality, because I found this link.
I was just going to say it's just to me because I believe in justice. Ironically enough, I was born under the astrological sign Libra. It's with scales there, you know, the scales of justice, and that's what my spirit is like. I want everything to be balanced. I want it to be just, and when it's not, when there's hypocrisy out there, you're trying to say something good, and you can't say something good on a platform who proclaims to be good, yet has all this trash up in behind it, you know, within it. You see what I'm saying? That's hard for a soul like me, or a spirit like me, to contend with, because it's like, yeah, I want everybody to know, hey, look, let's, you say that, and this, and you're doing this. You see what I mean?
Yep.
So anyway, well, duality, what was you going to go?
All right, well, I'm looking at this. I've been looking at this and feeling this for quite a while. And, you know, I speak to, speaking about who we are as sacred beings, and that we've lost that connection because we believe, well, we're told, you know, indoctrinated to believe, those that went to Catholic school or Christians, we're told they're born with sin, you know. So we have that indoctrination, and then we have political indoctrination, and we have education on all levels here. The system tells us, those that are the controllers tell us, that we are insignificant, that we need to trust the authorities, they have all the answers, and instead we have been deliberately taken away from our own internal wisdom and our own connectedness to source. So now we have the indoctrination, the greatest deception in the world, as duality. You know, it says we have eaten long enough of the knowledge of good and evil, and we have been indoctrinated long enough with the dual nature of the kingdom of the world. There is a different kingdom on earth that has been overlooked, which is the kingdom of God. There is no darkness in God, right, or the kingdom of God. let there be light. The non-dual kingdom of God or creator has been here for over thousands of years, but because we have been spiritually blinded and our parents were spiritually blinded and their parents before them, that we have been ignorant of this truth. So, and this is very important. We have been indoctrinated.
Yeah.
And we're all, so when you focus, again, I have to use the term, what you believe in, you call to you, you bring it to you, right?
Well, there's another phrase that is identical to that with different terminology, that you can't serve two masters. If you're trying
That's
to
right.
bring in positivity, you obviously don't want to be dwelling in negativity, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you believe and focus on what is dark or what is positive, that is what you manifest, you know. But the piece about duality, the concept of good and evil and darkness and light, is a lie. It's a deception of those who would keep you enslaved, who would keep you ignorant, depressed, struggling, and suffering. Duality is the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and is the fruit of the kingdom of this world. But no one needs to live in the old kingdom, right? Because that's man-made. The way to the kingdom or heaven, or I guess to free yourself, is already open and present here on earth. You know, and this is what I'm looking at, because we have been deceived. You know, because if you know you are sacred, if you know fully within yourself that you are sacred, that you are one with Creator, that you are a particle, a dream vision of Creator's creation, that you are divine and sacred, that is who we truly are, right? But then you have this infiltration, this indoctrination, you know, of the opposite, of the dark, of the evil, you know? So this is looking at this on how to compile this, you know, to be one with your source, or one with the Creator. If you say Creator is light and there is no darkness in Creator at all, none at all. There isn't that. There's an indoctrination of darkness and evil, you know, and people are glommed onto it and believe in it. So, you know, I'm just looking at this piece here. This is just one site. I did pop it into you and to the chat. You know, it's really based on, this particular site is based on religion. You know, and I don't believe in organized religion. I believe in a omniscience creator. I believe in the frequencies and the energy and frequency of all creation. And I do, you know, I do align myself with that. You know, you might ring more true with this. But we talk about religion has made the devil bigger than God and fear larger than faith, instead of teaching that the darkness has already been overcome by Yeshua. Okay? And this is an interesting perception, right? Just saying. So there's a lot in this site, in this link. There's probably other sites and other links more based on different perceptions and so on. But I'm going to continue, you know, it's about being full of the light, being full of the Creator, being that, because that's who we are. Just say the kingdom, right?
Well, earlier I mentioned about, guys dressing like women, you know, to each his own, that's what I say. But, you know, a comment in the chat room said, if a guy wants to dress like a woman, that's him. I got nothing to say or do about it. I agree, you know. It's not my business. You know, it's only when that lifestyle is forced in your face as you must accept it. It's like, you know, if you don't agree with certain, lifestyles, you're a homophobe, you're a xenophobe, you're a racist, you're hateful, and all this kind of stuff. So it's forcing people to go against their own, you know, beliefs and lifestyles. To be accepting of this, and that's where the desensitization. See, this is the trick that's being played on people. You know, like the White House, when Barack Obama projected the gay pride flag up on the side of the White House. The White House is supposed to be a neutral house. It's supposed to be the people's house, a neutral zone. It's supposed to represent all people. And so if you have, let's just put the Christians out there on the table. Okay, you got Angelica Christians looking up at this White House, and this White House is no longer white. It's all the rainbow colors, which is simply the gay pride flag. How do you think that is representing that portion of society? You're talking completely about separation of church and state, but at the same hand, you want to try to sit there and force an ideology or a belief or a lifestyle onto people who aren't, you know, into that kind of deal. That's the whole thing. I don't care what you do in your home. I don't care what you do down the road. But if it comes to the point where now I have to be accepting of that, that's where the problem is. It's not about you being gay. It's not about you being a communist or whatever. It's about you trying to force your life. It's like if I come out there and I started slapping people up the head, side the head with the Bible, say, you're going to go to hell if you don't read this book, or you're going to go to hell if you don't believe what I believe, then you would not like that. The same thing applies on the opposite side. So if we can't understand that each of us have differences, if we're not allowed to understand that each of us have differences and agree to disagree and walk away in a respectful and a peaceful manner, then the system wins. The system wins because it's trying to force me to believe things. It's trying to force me not to be able to talk about things. It says I got free speech, but do I really? Am I able to say what I want freely? No, I can't. Because if I do, I will be punished for it. It's as simple as that. This is why people need to wake up and start realizing that every time you go out there and you call people all these names because you're a racist, and it even goes up to the doggone president of the United States. It don't matter. Trump this, Trump that. You know, he is or he isn't a bad guy. Well, look at the system that we live in. He didn't get there by being a good guy. But at the same sense, can you honestly sit there and say he's this and he's that? That's the whole thing.
Well, that's part of this game, yes. You see, is to keep us in that lower level of frequencies. I have been continually saying that the key to everything is within us. And what I mean by that is that the light and the spirit is within us. The wisdom is within us. And again, it's like we don't have to change the external world. This is where we keep getting lost. We're told we have to change the external world because it's horrible. We're indoctrinated to believe that there is this horror and so on. We need to put on our higher mind, okay, if you want to say that, our raised awareness, higher vibration and frequency. This is what it's all about, you know. It's sort of like divinity or sacredness is our true nature, and light is who we are.
In my faith, we call it the full armor of God.
Yeah, if you don't know who you are, you will remain in the darkness.
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't know who Creator is, or your doubt that Creator exists, you will remain a slave to the darkness. It's as simple as that. So we're, our identity is stolen, basically. Our sacredness, our divine identity is being stolen from us.
Well, I believe that as well, but even if somebody's a hardcore atheist and don't believe in something, they still have to have faith that they're right, but nonetheless, even if they're a hardcore atheist, if you feed that negativity, you got to see it. That's what you get back. You give what you get, that kind of thing. What comes around goes around. We've all heard these things. You don't have to even be a believer in a higher power to understand there's certain things that you probably shouldn't do in life. You know, there's rights and wrongs. But, you know, if you ain't got some sort of moral or spiritual grounding in this world today, I'm scared for you, literally, because I don't know how you cope. You know, I know how a lot of people cope. They cope with drugs, they cope with alcohol, they cope with all kinds of things. You know, and humans, for some reason, can get addicted to things like ridiculously easy. People are addicted to video games. They're addicted to their cell phones. They're addicted to their internet. They're addicted to pornography. They're addicted to drugs. Some people are addicted to multiple things. You know? But how are you going to make it from point A to point B if you ain't got some sort of line that you yourself will not cross? If you ain't got some sort of spiritual or personal foundation, I just don't know what to say. You know, I honestly believe there is a God. I believe there's a higher power. That's my choice. I'm not going to force that on you. I'm not going to get mad when you don't believe or that you believe a different way. But, you know, you got to realize the things that are going on in this world, they're not natural. They're not natural. And I don't know how anyone could dispute that. You know, how some man, somebody put a funny comment in the chat room, said dirty deeds done with sheep or geese. It sounds funny, right? Well, that's what I'm talking about. There's a lot of things that would be considered to be not funny, not moral. You know, things about what children, you know. There are people who actually tell pedophilia jokes. There are actually people who tell racist jokes. There are good people who laugh at those jokes.
I don't either. There are people that are telling coronavirus jokes now. I don't think it's funny at all.
No. But if you like, oh, well, it's just a video game. It's just a movie. It's just a joke. That's what they want you to think. That's what they want you to say. That's what they want you to comply. They want you to be acceptable. They want you to think that things are normalized. Reach deep down in your soul and you tell me that you would want your daughter to be treated like they treat those young actresses and actors on the Hollywood stage. That you would want your daughter to be basically spread out all over the internet for all to see, any nasty old man that wants to see your daughter in a bikini. And you think about the fact that that's somebody else's child out there. When they get to a certain age, if they want to expose themselves to the world, you know, hey, that's their choice, right? That's not always their choice. Sometimes they don't even have a choice. Sometimes the things that are going on in the dark web and the regular surface web that we're on right there are things that people were literally forced into. Think about that. Think about that when you go out there and you're doing your battle between the good and the dark. Because that whichever side you support, you can't stand on both sides of the fence. You can't say this is right and that's wrong. But we'll accept it to this point right here. This is it. This is my line. I won't cross this line right here. You got to get on one side of the fence or the other. You can't be on the fence. Not in this world. Because everything that is allowed, they're sitting there saying, we got to do this because if we don't do this, then nobody has privacy. Or on the opposite side. It's mind-blowing. This is probably by far the deepest rabbit hole that I have ever had the displeasure of looking into. It's just beyond words. And it's right underneath this floor. Right underneath the surface of the web that you and I are on right now talking. And what are we going to get for talking this way? Well, you know we're being profiled. So if there ever comes a day that somebody needs to shut us up, they got the tools to do it. They got the technology. They got the willpower too. I want this world to be better than what it is. And we got our work cut out for us. It is off the scale messed up. It didn't get this way overnight, and it ain't going to get fixed overnight. But until each one of you reach down inside yourself and find out which side of that fence you want to be standing on, until your neighbors do the same thing, until we realize who and what we really are and come together and use that true divinity, that true power, this is going to be the world we live in. It's that simple. It's that simple. You ain't being sneaky, folks. You didn't get by with nothing. Every single move you made, every single word you spoke, somebody got a copy of it. It's that's that. And if there is a higher power, imagine his copy or hers, whatever the case may be. I'm not saying all this stuff to make people out there feel bad or fearful or frustrated or angry or upset. I'm trying to speak some common sense into the world. Because it seems to me, at least, that we've lost track of common sense. We've lost track of the fact that the world that we live in has a symbiotic relationship with us as well. And if we trash the world that we live in, and we kill off all of our species, and the chain starts to fall apart, guess what? That symbiotic relationship starts to fail. We need nature just as much as nature needs us. With exception of the fact is once we're gone, nature will fix itself. We could actually fix ourselves. Don't go down that don't go down in that dark web. I'm telling you, don't do that. It's your choice if you do. What do you think, Barbara?
Yeah, well, I think that I have to just say that this is, when we talk about the spiritual battle, it's the battle for your own spirit, your spirit soul. That's how I'm looking at this. You know, it's not like we're out there somewhere on the land or in the ethers with swords and shields and battling something. It is within us. The
yep.
spiritual battle is within us. And this is the biggest test. I think this timeline here, as I say, this is a timeline where we see all these things, the accumulation of these things that are challenging us. The maximum challenge, I think, you know. And I think we've been here before, you know. Again, it's like the timeline that we are in is sort of like we've come back around full circle here to meet the same point in time like we've done before. It's like the talking about, again, the Kali Yuga, the timeline of the Kali Yuga, but we also the histories that we read about the rise of civilizations and the inevitable fall of civilizations, you know, over and over and over again, we read of this information, and it just doesn't happen by chance. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens randomly.
Is there ever going to be a chance that we get this right?
Well, I think that this is, I feel this is the timeline that we are meant to be doing that. I mean, I can only, but I don't know. It's sort of like, okay, if we've been here before, that means we haven't gotten it right.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? If we keep repeating, like history repeats itself. Those words are pretty powerful. But it's not just history here in what we know in this lifetime. It's the history of lifetimes. You know, history repeats itself. Because you have generations and generations. And I was thinking about the people of my parents' age and my grandparents' age, for instance. You know, all that those people are all gone. They're all gone. You know, I think there's like, what, the last World War II veteran, or there's a couple left, I don't know. They're all gone. All that they knew, all that they learned, all that they experienced, all that they may have learned from their mistakes or had insights or various other things, those people, those generations, they are gone. Gone! Right?
Think they'll ever be back?
You know, I'm just talking about the fact that think about the generations that have gone before us.
Yep.
What they may have done, what the mistakes they made, what they may have tried to teach the next generations, what they may have tried to leave behind the information about, well, don't do this, or this is where we messed up. You know,
I think my grandmother, she used to read for me from the Bible, all right? Regardless of what people think about it, I'm not apologizing for the Bible. I'm just saying that was the lifestyle that I was read of, and she raised me up with good morals. She raised me up to be please and thank you, and it's okay to open the door for the ladies and that kind of stuff, and be respectful to your elders and that kind of deal. That's the way my grandmother raised me up. My mom and all the ladies of my household, my family, they raised me up to be the person that I am today. And of course, I had uncles that were on the rowdy side that taught me a little bit of crazy stuff that probably got me in a few troubles in my life. But either way, the best of the morals that I got were from that side of my family. And until I got out into society and society started, started seeing all these differences and my rebel side took over and got myself in a few troubles here and there, I learned by everything that was going on around me. And at some point I had to find a piece of wisdom that basically gave me that power to discern between right and wrong, because I always knew deep inside it was ingrained in me, it was planted as a seed as I was a child from the good side of my family, but there was a bad side of my family as well, I think, with every family. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I don't know why I went there with that, but it just came to me, because we are this next generation that's going to be leaving soon. I mean, maybe not you, but I'm in 77, you know, and so I'm just saying, so are we repeating you? The question was, are we going to learn, you know, and you asked, is this the time we're going to find out? Is this the time we're going to shift and change?
Well, I left the same seed that my grandparents and my mom put in me about the goodness. I believe that I have successfully instilled that into my children, even though they still got their rowdy side, but I've at least extended the time and given them the opportunity that they can possibly succeed, if that makes sense.
Well, talking about the spiritual battle, so the spiritual battle is within us, and somebody's battling for our spirit soul. Somebody wants to corrupt us. Something wants to ruin us. Something wants to tell us we're evil, we're dark, we're sinners, we're useless, we're, you know, insignificant. That something is the battle against our light, the light within us. This is what I'm saying. And so this is a repeat. This is a repeat. So again, this is a repeat. So our parents battled the same kind of thing. They were indoctrinated. They believed they were sinners. They believed that they were insignificant and so on and so forth. This is generational indoctrination. And here we are back around to the same problem. It's the same issue. It's the same repeat. All the stuff that we're told to pay attention to fear, to is the most important thing, is not the most important thing. The most important thing is the light within us, is knowing ourselves as sacred. That's what we're talking about. The duality thing. So the duality tells us, you know, to believe in the evil and the dark and so on and so forth. But if you are one with Creator, if you know you are a divine sacred being, okay, then you're not feeding the dark and the believing of the dark. You're not feeding that. So again, we're indoctrinated to feed the dark that feeds off of us.
Yep.
And so I just feel this timeline here, by what I've been told by spirit and spiritual guidance, I've been told that this is the timeline now for us to do our sacred works, to step away from all the crap, all the garbage, to do the sacred works, because they're frequencies. Sacred works means, and you know, in my tradition, well, certainly it means ceremony, but it means holding the light, being the light, becoming the creator, the divine that you are. That is a frequency. If you hold that frequency, I'm going to say then you are in a different experience, a total different experience, and nothing can drag you back into that fourth world of chaos. But this is that battle, the battler who's battling. controlling us wants to drag us back into the fourth world of insanity and darkness and craziness and porn, pornography and violence and all the stuff that we see in the news now. That's the fourth world of chaos. That is a frequency level that you don't want to keep attached to.
Yep.
And the only way you're going to detach from that, the only way you're going to, let's say, escape this battle for your spirit soul, the light within you, and bring darkness in you, and plant the darkness in you where you believe you, you know, it's hopeless and you are helpless and you have nothing you can do, that's what's going on. You have to become, you have to know, do whatever you possibly can to become that sacred being, the divine light, that frequency, that awesome, amazing, extraordinary, sacred child that you are, who has a power. Your light is the power. The light is a power against the darkness. That is a frequency. So this is where we are battling this. The battle is for our light. The battle is for our spirit soul. Okay, wants to keep us in fear, wants to keep us hating each other, wants to keep us pitted against each other. This is an awesome timeline, and I keep saying that. We are here once again, back circling around again. Are we going to get it? This is a crucial timeline. It's in our hands. We can do it. We're not stupid. We're not helpless. We're not ignorant. We've been told we're stupid and insignificant and helpless and ignorant, but that's not true. We are sacred beings. We have more power than we could ever imagine just by knowing ourselves as sacred and stepping into that light, being that frequency, that light, that love, that compassion, all of those that other despises and is abhorred by, can't handle it, can't handle the light, likes it dark, likes it hateful, likes the judgments, likes the jealousies, likes the greed, likes the violence, likes the bestiality, likes all of that, sucks that food up, and we are feeding that or not.
Would you agree or disagree that I would say all humans have an Achilles heel? Achilles heel, in case those who don't know what that is you know, an Achilles heel is a weakness in spite of overall strength, which can lead to downfall. Essentially,
We're told that, aren't we now?
Yeah. Well, if
you're born with an Achilles heel, well, is that a truth or is that a lie?
Well,
is that deception? I don't know.
My Achilles heel, which can cause me problems, is that I got a huge heart. You know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I get a huge heart. I love people, and so if you tell me,
well, the Achilles heel is supposed to be something that makes you weak.
Yeah, well, it's a weakness in spite of overall strength. You know, I'm a strong person, but my weakness is, you know, you show me a baby starving to death, and I'm more than likely going to reach in my pocket and
well, that's
give,
love and compassion.
And give money.
That's a compassionate being to me, and yeah, that is divine.
I agree, but on that opposite side of the spectrum, that where their way of looking at it,
well,
is that they can use that
you.
To manipulate me. You
they're
see
using
what I mean?
It against you.
Yeah.
And you believe in it. You believe in what they're telling you. You're believing that your compassion and your love for a starving child is a weakness.
Yeah.
That's a manipulation to me.
Well, I don't personally, I would, regardless of whether I was being ripped off or not, I would still give for the off chance that it was true. I mean, I couldn't, it's like that homeless guy that's on the side of the road. People say, don't feed that, don't give them no money because they'll just go buy drugs. I don't care. If I give them money, if I just walk past them and I already made that assumption or judgment that they were, you know, going to go buy drugs because I reached out a helping, loving hand and tried to give them some money that they could go, you know, at least have the choice to buy some food.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of person does that make me? So I'm going to give them money anyway.
But that's because you have compassion, you see. But you're told by the authorities in the system that compassion is not good. You're not allowed to be compassionate. You must ignore that starving person. That's the authorities telling you that. That's the indoctrination. That is a lie. So you, as a compassionate person, will go against the lie and be that divine sacred light and offer a hand to that person. That is what we're supposed to be doing.
Said in that context makes perfect sense to me. what you just said. That makes perfect sense to me. And we got to be aware that these dirty tricks that they play, they know us. I mean, they profiled us. They know who
we are. That's exactly right. They know us very well. That's why we call this psychological warfare, the war for our spirit soul, the war for the light and the love and the compassion that we truly are. Okay? Yes, and if there's our persons that actually walk by, and I have seen it too, walk by some starving person or someone in trouble, just walk right by. Okay, they don't know themselves. They do not know they are divine and sacred. They have been indoctrinated and they are now owned by the dark or by the authorities, by the cabal, by the elite that owns them and has indoctrinated them well to ignore and deny their own sacred self.
Yep, I agree.
So I pray for those people. Okay, those people aren't evil. Okay, they're not born evil. They are indoctrinated. We were nearly indoctrinated ourselves, all right? So I'm just saying, I don't find those people evil or dark or whatever. I find those people that are lost and they've been brainwashed and indoctrinated to deny their own sacred self, deny who they really are.
Well,
that's my perception. I don't know, somebody might disagree with me, but that's who I am.
So I would say, I think Two Dog said one time, he told a story about how there are two wolves fighting and the grandpa asked him which one wins, and I'm getting a story.
Well, this is what our elders have, this is a story our elders have told us across the board.
It's the one, right? You feed, right? So that's what
it's
I'm
the
saying.
The one you feed, it's the dark or the light, it's the same thing, the one you feed will win. It's in our hands. This is what we keep saying. It's in our hands. We're not helpless. All right? We have a power. We have an ability, but we've been indoctrinated to disbelieve that. We've been indoctrinated to believe it's all hopeless, and we are helpless. So if you believe it's hopeless and you are helpless, you don't do nothing. You walk past the person starving.
Yep.
You step away from, you know, from who you truly are. You believe the dark. You believe that indoctrination of the dark that tells you you're nothing.
Well,
so that's why this is called the battle of the dark and the light. And the battle is within us. It's for our spirit, for our soul, who we really truly are. You know, basically to negate who we really truly are is sacred.
Well, knowing that and after talking about that and experiencing and feeling that that energy basically from those words that you just spoke, those words inspire me to deliberately want to go out and do as many good deeds as I can possibly do in spite of that dark side that wants to tell you don't feed that homeless person because they're just going to buy drugs.
You can't wrap your mind around that. I can't wrap my mind around it. When something like that happens, I go, what? Like who? What kind of a person? This is how we go. What kind of a person would tell us not to feed someone who's starving? Well, because that. So what kind of a person?
Yeah.
What kind of a person? Not a compassionate, loving person, for sure. And what are you? You're a compassionate, loving person. This is about, put your battle gear on, folks. This is the battle. We're in a battle.
And we got to be in it to win it, because...
But, you know, it's a battle. It's a personal battle. We talk about the spiritual battle, okay? But it is our personal battle against this entity, or whatever you want to call it, that wants us to deny the power that we have, the power of love, the power of compassion, the power of your love and your compassion that you have to bend down and lend that person a hand is unbelievably powerful. It will change that life. It will change the whole experience there. It will emanate throughout the web and touch many other people.
Yep.
What we do as seed planters, this is the whole point. Okay, if you turn away from a person who's starving or needs help, you've planted a negative seed.
Have you ever noticed or witnessed there's maybe somebody will fall down and you got everybody in the crowd just kind of stands there for a brief period, and until one person acts, nobody else gets up. One person will get over there and they help that elderly person off the ground, and the next thing you know, they're surrounded by other people wanting to see if she's all right or he's all right and trying to help, and it's contagious.
Well, the question is, you have to seek out what on earth is in the minds of those people.
Yeah.
Okay, what are they hearing? What is their indoctrination telling them how to be Adoaft?
Don't get involved. You might get sued or.
Oh yeah, or just feeling nothing.
Yeah.
Numbed. No connectedness. No empathy. No association to a person who's suffering. I just saw this video of some. There was a car crash. And the car caught on fire, and the man, the driver's seat, was trying to get out. He was stuck in the window. He couldn't get out. And the guy, one guy who took action, was stunned. He said there were about 20 people standing there filming this on their cell phones. Nobody moved. They were filming it.
What a mess.
He's the one, for whatever reason. Maybe he didn't have a cell phone, obviously. Because he was taking action as a compassionate person, a warrior, where everyone else was standing around filming it. That's incomprehensible to me.
Yeah, that's insane.
But this is the indoctrination. This is the brainwashing. Get this on film. Get this horror on film.
Yeah, that's why I did a video a long time ago that basically, to put it nicely, said Shaziz is mad. But it talked about how there were a crowd of people standing around while these people were abusing this child, stepping on his arm, and you know, doing things like that, and nobody got in there and said, "Hey, that's wrong. Don't do that." You know, if I would have been there, I'm not a violent person, but when it comes down to a child, I could turn into a violent person really fast. I wouldn't have just been after the person doing it. I would have been after the camera person. I would have been after the bystanders. What is wrong with these people that they could stand by idly and watch something that's so atrocious, so terrible, rotten, whatever you want to say? What is in these people's minds and hearts that they could stand idly by and film it and watch it, laugh about it like it's no big deal? And I think it was due to the race of this child, you know. And, you know, it doesn't matter what race this child was. We're talking a child here. And in some communities, there are people that, you know, the grown adults who will literally sit there and eat at a table. And they have little tiny children running around picking scraps up off the dirt. And I would have got up out of my seat. I would have picked up those children and set as many of them as I could in that seat and let them have my meal. But I don't understand how people could do that. You know?
Well, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Don't be surprised. Don't be confused. People are indoctrinated to be disconnected. They're completely brainwashed. They're disconnected from their light within them. They're disconnected from the compassion itself, who we truly are.
How can we assist in turning that light back on? You know, it's just the only thing I think is I shine mine and lead by example is the best I can do. I mean, I can't force them to want to be a good person.
Well, I was told we're seed planters, and you know, when you plant a seed, you don't stand over that seed and scream at it to grow and change and become beautiful. You just plant the seed with love, and you keep praying for that seed as you walk away. And you know it's in God's hands. You know it's all in Creator's hands. The seeds we are planting is in Creator's hands. That's why I pray for people like I pray for the leaders of the world. And I ask Creator to intervene. Okay, I can't intervene, but I can participate in a prayer and ask Creator to intervene in the mind and clear that mind and open that heart and spirit of that person and help them, guide them, let them hear your guidance to do work for the good of all. That's my prayer. That's power. Okay, I'm a seed planter. I'm planting that seed. It's out of my hands. They have their spiritual journey. They have their journey like everybody else. They might be doing awful stuff here, but they're on a spiritual journey, and they are one of the Creator's children as well. They got lost, they got messed up, they got indoctrinated, they're indoctrinated with greed, they got taken by the darkness, whatever it is. Therefore, but the grace of God go I. Yep. I have to say that because it could be me. It could be me. It could be you.
Yeah.
I always pray. I ask to be clear, to hear the guidance, to do the to be in service to the good, to be in service to Creator. That's why I'm here.
I feel that same way. I feel that same way. I think I need to be a little bit more stronger in my prayers for other people. You know, I mean, I don't get me wrong, I pray all the time, but, you know, sometimes
On the other side of it, you're frustrated and you say, what can I do? What can I do? These people are gone. These people are lost. But what can I do? Give it over to Creator. That is the most power that we have a connection to. If you believe in that, if you believe in God and you believe in that something that you say, speak about a lot, you have to rely upon it then. You really have to really truly be one with it in order for things to unfold in a good way. And let it go. Surrender. Surrender your frustration. Surrender the fact that you are helpless, you are hopeless, and it all sucks out there.
Yeah, I agree.
There's that duality again, okay? It's like, what do you really truly believe in? I'm just saying. I'm not beating you up here.
I appreciate it. No, because, you know, sometimes, you know, I got a lot of good ideas. I got a lot of good views on the world, but I don't know everything there is to know, and there's been many occasions where just by the way that you phrase certain things, give me a better understanding, a different look at things.
But I'm not helpless, and I'm not hopeless.
Hello.
Well, hello there, Patty.
Hey, sis. Say that again. Look, she disappeared.
She had to turn her mic back on.
I thought I heard Patty.
Yeah, she said she's not helpless and hopeless.
That's right. Listen, I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers, Shaz. I just sitting here listening to you and things are coming through and I'm sharing them with you. But believe me, it's a struggle for us. You're not the only one. I'm not above getting frustrated and feeling overwhelmed. Certainly,
I agree,
I'm a human being.
My point is that your strengths and my weaknesses. I heard her again.
Keep going. What'd you say, Chaz?
I said your strengths and my weaknesses, vice versa. You know, we work well together. We're a good team together. There was another word I wanted to use, but I can't remember what it was at this time. But we complement. Our strengths and our weaknesses complement. I told my wife this. You know, she's got strengths that I don't have, and I got strengths that she don't have. But together, we make the perfect team. And that's why whenever, you know, I'm listening to all the words that you say, to what Patty says, and different comments that are made, that, you know, I learn something. Every time we do one of these shows, I learn something.
Well, I do, too. I'm learning every time we're on these shows, I'm learning, you know. The thing is, I think we have to accept the fact that we're all learning here, okay? We all help each other, we support each other, and so on, and we are learning as we go along. And there are times when I feel overwhelmed, and I have to keep turning it over to Creator. I have to keep giving over the overwhelming sense that I have to Creator, and then I say, you know, straighten me out here, you know. Because I know the overwhelming makes me helpless, or believe I'm helpless, and the overwhelming that hits me from the outside, that message that is too overwhelming, that message is indoctrinated into us. Oh, it's too big. It's too overwhelming. I can't do anything. You're hopeless. You're helpless. That's an indoctrination. So I have to be alert to that. I'm alert to that. You see, when I hear you do it, I'm alert to it because it happens to me. Well, and I know that we are subject to that. You're not the only one.
So I need to figure out how to keep those energy vampires off of the back of my neck.
Well, we're all figuring that out, and that again is that's about energy. What you just said, the energy vampire. So it's an energy, so you have to discern the energy, because the negative, the dark, has a different energy than the light. You see, it's that simple. But we get disconnected from the sensory discernments that we were given, because the these forces are big, these forces are heavy, these forces are, you know, trained to impact us and to shift us into hopelessness and helplessness. So, but that's not who we really truly are. If you believe you're a sacred child, that's where you have to go back to. I am that sacred child.
Well, I honestly believe that my God didn't create any trash, only treasure, and that the capabilities that we got well exceed of what we've been told. We've been indoctrinated to not believe in certain things.
Well, if you believe that, then you're not hopeless, and
that's
you're not
right.
Helpless.
That's
and you basically, if you're one with, which we are, I do believe, but we have to identify ourselves as one with. We have to act that we are one with. We have to be the one with. We have to be that frequency, you see. It's not just chatterboxing. It's not just blah, blah stuff. Oh, I believe it. It is being that. That's the frequency, you see.
Well,
that's the energy.
I got this saying that I used to say all the time. You can't walk through a cesspool and come out the other side smelling like a rose. And so that means that this world that we live in, you know, it's...
Well, you possibly could if you believe that. You are the rose, no matter what.
Well...
You are the rose. You are the light, no matter what.
Well, I believe
that. I'm going to say...
But as long as I'm trying to wade through it instead of walk across it like Jesus on the water, that's what I'm saying. If you're down there in it, You're going to smell like it. You know, it's like the people you hang around all the time.
That's right.
Time.
You become, oh, this is a swamp. This is filthy. And there you go.
Yep.
You know, or this is, no, what I'm seeing here is not true. There's no such thing as trash.
So if you have to go in there, wear some hip waders and keep yourself protected.
Well, if God didn't create trash, then you better not believe that trash exists. That's what I'm saying. Because then you just lied to yourself.
Well, I don't believe anyone out there is trash. I believe that because we were given a choice, we were given free will. That gives us not only responsibility. Because that's a big responsibility to be able to have the choice to do whatever you want to do. You know, because you're gonna pay for it one way or another.
Well, if God didn't create any trash and you believe that, then you can't get angry and frustrated with people who are really not trash.
Yeah.
They've just been indoctrinated to behave like trash.
And
but
my,
inside of them is the light also. Inside they are a sacred child.
I believe
and that's
that too.
That is a very difficult place to take on, to be that. But that's why I pray for people. I pray for people who are doing trash. I pray for them. I don't get angry at them. I don't hate them because I don't want to add to what they're suffering, you see. If these people are suffering and they're indoctrinated and owned by this darkness, I don't want to add to the darkness by hating them. I don't want to hurt them. I want to love them through prayer and through compassion.
Yep.
This is what I think we're supposed to be doing here. I think we are here to make a difference. We are here to hold the light. We are here to hold that sacredness in everything. Our eyes need to see the sacredness in everything because there is sacredness in everything. This is how you have to look at it, right? All of creation, including all peoples, no matter who they are, what they are sacred. It's part of God's creation. So if we believe in God's creation, we have to see all, everything that is going on as sacred and beautiful. Right?
Yeah.
Not evil, not dark, not trash. That's where the duality takes us down that hole, into that dark place. Oh, those people, like what we have the phrase in our language, Lakota language, which is Metakwe Oyasin, which means many things, but one of the things that has now become is we are all related. So you can't say Metakwe Oyasin. That is a code to live by. In our culture, it is a code to live by, meaning you see all others as your brother and your sister, right?
Yep.
And plus everything in creation as one with. We are one with.
Well,
we are one with our creator, meaning we are one with all creation. But you can't single out some person and say, but them, no. They're bad, they're dark, they're blah, blah, they're awful. I hate that person. You can't live by the code of Metakwe Oyasin. God created all, you know, as beauty and sacred.
In my faith, there's a similar phrase that says that what you do unto the least of me, you do unto me, which is basically the same thing. You know, they're all creations of God. And so if you treat them poorly, you're basically treating God poorly.
Well, it is whatever we, what we choose, we manifest and create. What we believe in, we manifest and create. How we function, our emotions and everything, we manifest and we create. Now, what do we believe? We believe through our own thoughts and our own ideas. You could call it free will, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. We have certain things in our minds that we glom onto, or certain things we've learned about that we believe in, and then we identify ourselves with that particular belief, and then we create that, we manifest that. If you believe that there will never be any peace in your experience, there will never be any peace. All right? If you are peace, if you are love and compassion, that is the experience completely that you will be living in.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I like I said, looking out there into this this world, it's hard to see things that you know, that basically target your heart and tear you, you know, inside out. But I also have to be, you know, aware that I can't allow that to dig in so deep inside me that I actually become hopeless and helpless. And because I know I'm not. Because I know for a fact that I'm not. I'm not helpless. I'm not hopeless. But
well, the thing, there's another part of this, too. There are some cultures, I'm going to say more in India, I suppose. There are some cultures that believe that if you get involved in something, or if you know something's going to occur to someone, that you don't interfere because it's their journey. It's their life journey, you see. I had these experiences where I would see the deaths of people, for instance, or I would see accidents, or I would see planes crashing, whatever. When I was very young, I had a lot of visions like that. It was completely out of my hands. There was nothing I could do. I couldn't walk up to a person and say, hey, I had a vision that next week you're going to die, you know, or I had a vision, don't get on that plane. Is that messing with divine plan? Is that messing with that person's sacred journey here and what they need to experience? This is the premise that some of these ancient religions live according to. You know, one of the that brought this home was the movie. Was it Back to India? Or it was about a journey to India. I think it was about, this took place in like the 19th century. Or maybe mid-19th century or early 19th century, of this school woman, this teacher. She was unmarried, so I guess in those days she would be called an old maid. So the old maid went on a journey to India. That was like her vacation. She wanted to go to India to all the sacred ancient sites. And as soon as she got off this train in this remote little village to take this room in this little hotel, she... And there was a man standing on the platform. He was an old man, white hair, long white hair, and so on and so forth. And he seemed, standing there, he seemed very reverent or wise, I'm going to say. So the movie goes on, and it's about her journey and about what happened to her and other people that she became involved with. So there was a whole bunch of people on that journey that got involved in an incident that occurred with her. So she went to the temples the following day or so, and some of these temples were like caves, ancient caves in the mountains. There was a tourist guide. The tourist guide was a young Indian man, and he was the guy guiding the people, the tourists, or the American tourists. And so this woman was in the caves and so on, and she got separated from people, and she had sort of like something happened to her, like some heavy emotions came over her. It wasn't very clear, but she had like an incident where she fainted and something struck her, okay? Now, I'm going to say that it wasn't just because she was there, but this was like a pending thing, and this was something... all in all, that was supposed to happen to her on her journey here and in that lifetime. This was very significant. So she claimed that the young guide, the Indian guide, molested her. Okay? Now, of course, he was a person of color in that culture, and he was therefore lower on the scale, I guess you want to say, in that culture because they have these particular sects. You know, the higher, if you're lighter skin, you're in a higher circumstance or looked upon as a higher person, type person, and it goes in the opposite way down to the lowest, right? You clean the trash in the streets or because of your color. Anyway, it was a court trial, but all the while, this wise man who was standing on the platform, who knew everything when she came to that country, he knew her story. He knew what was going to happen. He knew this was meant to happen. So he didn't interfere, basically. He was the observer. It was almost like God was observing, if you want to put it this way. It was almost like God was the observer looking at this journey of this woman. And, of course, the other people, because she pulled in a lot of people, especially that young man. So there was a court trial. And they basically wanted to hang this guy, right? They wanted to execute him. And she was going through these emotional levels of, did this really happen? What, did she imagine this? Was this real? What happened to her? So it was pretty intense and crazy. And there were people in the, his family and people of that color who were supporting him. They were up in the balcony. They weren't allowed to be down where all the lighter-skinned people were. I mean, this was a huge thing. The movie was extraordinary. It was really amazing. But what it gave to me was that we are basically on a journey here, and everything that is involved in us is meant to happen according to, I guess you want to say, maybe the plan for you. And everything that happens is an opportunity to learn something about yourself, to shift, to change, to learn something. To grow from that experience. I call it the gift in every experience. No matter what happens, no matter what level it is, whether it's atrocious or horrible or overwhelming or whatever it is, there's a gift in that experience that we are meant to learn from, but you have to seek out the experience. You have to seek out the gift. It's up to you. You will never find the gift unless you sit with it and say, where is this gift? What is the gift? What can I learn from this? And that's why in my life now, at this age, I can say, I can turn around and look at my journey. And I've had some experiences that, you know, you don't even want to have ever experienced in my life, in your own life. Things we all do, but I'm just talking about my experience. And I look at every one of them and I have learned, because I sought out the teaching in the experience. That was my opportunity and my determination to find the gift within those experiences, to see something that was meant for me to learn from, a good thing, right? Something that I needed to find that would share with me, tell me something greater about myself. So this is how I look at this. So then the question is, do we interfere with people's lives, people's journeys? Do we? How should we? If should we or not? I don't know. What's meant to happen to people, will it happen anyway if we stop something that we see might happen and we change the happening? You want to say we interfere? That's why I pray for people. I give it over to Creator. It's not for me to change that person. I can't change that person.
I think what we can do or should do, and what's out of our control, we should, leave in God's hands. You know, on my side, they call it the Valley of Blessings. All those hard times that you thought about throughout the trials and tribulations of your life, they taught you things. You learned things from those that made you the person that you are today. So, you know, when looking back and seeing how all the things that I've gone through and seen in my lifetime, you know, I'm thankful for them to some extent, because I think that I'm a pretty good person these days, you know. But it's been one heck of a journey. And that's why I guess I'm passionate about, trying to do these shows like we do, reaching out there to talk to people and try to give them some hope and some solutions to problems out there. This thing that we talked about here today, that's a dark subject. That's one heck of a deal. When you start talking about the dark web, the rabbit holes that you can find in that subject is mind-blowing. But does that make it to where this whole world is so messed up that there's absolutely nothing that we can do to resolve it? I don't believe that. I believe that more people in this world are actually waking up to reality. I believe that more people are waking up to the good side of things. I believe more people are starting to see through that those blinders that's been on their eyes about, you know, these movies that they watch and the games they play and, you know, the things that they accept into their life. I won't sit there and laugh at a racist joke. I won't sit there and laugh at a joke that, you know, about pedophilia or things that some people might think is funny. If it's wrong, it's wrong. You know, I ain't no better than anyone else in this world out there. I'm not even close to any better than anyone else out there in this world. We're all under attack. This whole world is under attack. But the things that, the lessons that we need to learn in this world, these are the most important lessons of all. I love the whole idea of you talking about planting the seeds. I'm always talking about throwing the positive pebbles in the pond. Any of those good things, the pay it forward thing that you can talk about. All the different good things. That's why every time I see a group of people, even if it's something as simple as a football game, I see all these people in the crowds coming together for one common goal. You know, to some people they would say, oh, that's just entertainment. But to me, to see all these people treating each other decent, to see everybody raising their voices up together in triumph, and to, you know, when you watch this Super Bowl, this last Super Bowl, there was something incredible going on at the Super Bowl that a lot of people missed. That Chiefs quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, first job he come out there, first thing that he did when he come out there is he went down to the goal post, down to the goal line, and he kneeled down and he said a prayer. And then when you listen to him talk, he's always given credit to, he couldn't do this without the team. He couldn't have done this without the coach. He couldn't have done this without the family. And most of all, he couldn't have done it without his faith. And you know, in the hardest time of that whole game, they were down. They were way down. It looked bleak. It looked almost impossible. You need a miracle. That young man pulled off a miracle. And in the last quarter, come back and they won that game. 50 years ago, Chiefs went to the Super Bowl. It took them 50 years to get back and win. They took home not one, but two trophies. From the playoffs to the Super Bowl. Now, once again, bread and circus, everybody think that's just a deal, but if you was looking from the outside and looking in the way that I look at things, and you've seen how all those fans treated each other, how all those fans come together, how it took everybody working through every single bit. They were there during the losses. They were there during the bad weather. They were there in the good times. They were there in the bad times. They stuck together like a family, and in the end, the team worked as a team. The coach worked with the team. The leader of the team, the quarterback, he humbled himself before his God. He humbled himself before the fans. He humbled himself before his team, his coach. When I saw them win that game, I saw what I wished I could see for humanity. I saw the joy and the victory, the trials and the tribulations and the triumph that we, the people, are capable of doing. Everyone could have given up. Everyone could have got discouraged. in the third quarter of that game, and they were so far down, everybody could have said, you know, look, they're already going to lose. It's nothing we can do, and they could just get up and walk out, but everyone stayed there. And they succeeded. You witnessed a miracle. It wasn't just a game. It was a shining example of what you can do together if you truly believe in yourselves and one another. That's what I got from the Super Bowl. Every time I see something like that, every time I hear the words and I watch the comments in these chat rooms, every time I get to learn something, we're succeeding right here. We're succeeding. So, you take that. Take that one there and put it in your memories there. Hold on to that one. So you didn't watch the game, Barbara?
No, I'm not interested in it.
It wasn't the game itself that I was interested in. It was witnessing what people, when they actually stick together through everything, what they can do when they believe in themselves and they believe in a higher power and they humble themselves to their brothers and sisters around the world. You know, there were fans.
I know what you mean, but I have to say that I don't know what believe in a higher power to win this game where you crash into each other and there's brain damage and people bail out.
I'm not saying there aren't negativities to the deal, but I'm looking at this a whole entire different way. That's just an example, but there are other examples out there. Even in the doggone, you know, rotten Hollywood, when they have deals where people come together and they triumph over adversity, but it's the people coming together, the same common denominator in every one of the stories. It's during real life stories like Katrina and all the different natural disasters and even man-made disasters. It's when these people come together and then you see the things that they're able to accomplish and overcome. That's what I'm talking about. The game itself is just a game, and it's a pretty violent game, but
well, I know what you're saying on that level, but I just am adverse to these types of gladiator-type games where people are pitted against each other and so on and so forth. And it's all about money.
Millions of dollars.
All about money, yep.
To play a couple of hours a day, you know, on a weekend. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the level of money these baseball players make and the football players make is atrocious to me.
No, I get all that.
You know, the way I feel about it, if I can jump in here, the way I feel about it is if you like football, watch the game. If you don't like football, don't watch the game. It's a game. Games are not the anathema. It's our actions that show us who we are. If you can stand on a football field making millions of dollars and then bend the knee and give grace and give thanks to the Creator above all things and to humble yourself, there's nothing bad about that. You know, it's better than being a Copernic and subsidizing the hatred of people and at the same time forcing the children to make tennis shoes for you in a sweatshop somewhere in Indonesia. You know, these are things that we don't have. Our judgments mean so very little when we go after a game. You know, our judgments are supposed to be self-judgments. They're supposed to be on ourselves that say that I do not subscribe to the hate. I do not subscribe to the fact that this one person here is pushing hate. I do subscribe to the fact that this one person is bending his knee and giving grace to the Creator and thanking his people. You don't have to become a fan. You don't have to become anything other than to realize that within you is the discernment to see it for what it is. I'm not a football fan either. Haven't watched football in the longest time. I've got so many friends who are, and they get a lot of joy out of it. There's no hatred when they come together on the weekend. They, you know, and sit in there on a Sunday and they all come together. It's like their church. The thing of it is that they're all in a loving mood. They're all in a laughing and having a good time. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well,
it's when we use that as a weapon against somebody.
Yep.
You know.
You guys are always talking about that frequency, that energy. If you could have felt what I felt standing in the stadium at another game, those people during the national anthem and when they did the military flyover and all that kind of stuff, you know, I know the patriotism and all that kind of stuff there, but it wasn't the actions that I was feeling when it was that unity of a common cause, even if it's something as stupid as a game. That unity of a common cause, yeah. And all your differences in colors. There were black people sitting next to white people, sitting next to Chinese people, sitting next to all races, all religions, all color, just for a common goal, even if it was something as stupid as a game. But to feel that vibration, that energy of that many people combined, it was off the scale. It brought tears to my eyes. And knowing the sacrifices of the military men and women that went and fought and died in different conflicts, regardless of whether you agree or disagree with them, the sacrifices that they made and the significance of, you know, the flyover and the significance of the flag and all this kind of stuff, thinking about this whole entire thing as a whole and what it took to even have it where I could even stand in this game and watch this thing. If the people of the world could just take that type of energy and focus it towards something, some real problem in this world, starvation, sickness, homelessness, that many people combined with that type of energy could solve any problem that you could possibly imagine. That's what I'm talking about. It's not the game. It's not the players. It's that feeling of that many people coming together, like you said, Patty. They're laughing. They're joking. They're enjoying each other. They're putting all their differences aside, coming together for whatever common goal they chose.
I have felt that at parades. I haven't been to a parade in a long time, but we used to go to a lot of parades, firemen's parades, because my dad was a fireman in the Port Jervis area. I used to get that feeling. It was really, you know, and when I hear that Star Spangled Banner and you see, you know, people standing and together and doing that, yep. That always is very emotional.
Yep.
It's a very deep connection there.
That's what I want the whole world to feel. I wish there was a way that somehow or another I could transfer all this energy that I felt in my heart and my soul and my spirit to everyone so they could feel that at that one instance in time. I think that if there ever come a day to where everybody could feel that once, it only takes one time to feel that type of love and camaraderie and togetherness, unity, or whatever you want to call it. It only takes one time to make a believer out of you. That's amazing. You know, like I said, it's just a game, folks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't judge people who go to those games. I just see it from a different perspective, you know? That's just my perspective because of the gladiator games.
Well, I don't disagree.
The money, the level of money that is, you know.
I don't disagree
with that
at all.
Chris says, and some of these people do that too. Chris says, this person, I don't know who he's talking about, he helps build homes for veterans. He does help with his money, goes to a good cause. Yes, and some of these people that make some of that money, they do that. They help.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah, and I have to say, too, that Barbara is right in the fact that the games were not created for us to have a good time. The games were created to control us, to give us something to root for, something to feel good about, something to say, hey, see, my team's better than your team, or things like this, to keep us from starting to ask the wrong questions or thinking in the wrong way. It's all a diversion tactic.
Okay, but don't you think that if they can muster that kind of energy for such an insignificant thing, such as a game, that if they could muster the same type of energy, the same type of togetherness towards some positive goal of fixing something in this world. You see what I'm trying to say here, Patty?
But that's why the game. That's why we were given these games, to put all that energy, muster all that energy towards something in unity. That's what the people are satisfied now. They don't have to gather all that energy together and, you know, whatever, go fight the system or do something good or, you know, plant trees or whatever. To me, the other part of this is the race thing. You have all these, the majority of the football people are black people. Same thing with basketball. To me, this is like the gladiator games and in that, using that. I don't know. For some reason, it just doesn't sit right with me. It's using people in certain ways.
Our people play games. We played stick games and things like this. There's nothing wrong. I don't want the wrong impression. The thing of it is that when you have a venue like the NFL, where their total sales per year are just on the sales of their novelties, you know, the jersey shirts and all the memorabilia and things like this. Some people are so serious about this that they can't handle not winning, you know. But then you have things like the once in every 50 years where the Kansas City Chiefs, they won the Super Bowl. The whole freaking nation celebrated that.
Yep.
The whole nation. It was like we had won a war.
Exactly.
Here.
Yeah.
You know, the energy that was released on that day. I mean,
it was
and
amazing.
Right now, and since that day, memorabilia, everything Kansas City Chiefs has gone up in price. It will go up in price. And people will pay and will pay and will pay, and the controllers will be happy.
Yeah.
And the people will be happy. You know, but there's an underlying thing there too, because there were people that truly, I think that when we are in joy, when we are in immersing ourselves in just the act of joy, the feeling of joy, the emotion of joy, that frequency there, I mean, come on, bring it on, you know?
Yeah, it's awesome.
If it takes the Chiefs winning a game after 50 years to make you feel real joy instead of sitting there worrying about life and worrying about the world, if you took those 4 hours and felt real joy, hey, go for it.
The point is,
but
they never gave up, is what I'm saying. That's the point. They never gave up.
Well, that's what I was going to say. they didn't give up after 50 years. They're still, and people are still supporting them. People are still loving them. People having faith in these players and the game and the win and so on. If that could be taken and put towards making a change in the world for the good of all, the good of the whole, you know, so on and so forth, for people that are starving or whatever, you know.
Heck yeah, we wouldn't be having this conversation, would we?
That's right.
No, we would not. But all that energy, all of that is basically taken deliberately to focus on a game. The game, yep, to me means nothing, is what I'm saying.
Well, I agree, but I'm just saying if for some miracle they could take and focus that same energy on something positive, there's nothing that we couldn't overcome.
Well, we could see, you and I and Patty, we see that, but it has been deliberately usurped. That type of energy, that type of passion, that type of faith has been usurped for a game. And everybody's satisfied. They'll go home now and they'll talk about the game and they'll still buy stuff or whatever. And the other side goes home and they feel defeated and bad and angry and whatever is going on. I'm just saying, this is how I look at this stuff. You know, maybe I'm not the popular person here right now because I'm not against the games. I'm just looking at it from a different perspective, that it's a manipulation of people's lives.
Well, sure.
And people,
I don't
people
disagree
suffer,
with that at all.
People suffer brain damage, for Christ's sake.
I don't disagree with that at all. And the prices at the deal is ridiculous. They use this, but, you know.
And I have to say, in that culture, by the way, is a lot of domestic abuse going on. That's the other thing that really gets me, is in those cultures, the baseball culture, the football culture, especially our, is a lot of domestic abuse. So, well, I'm aware of that. I'm just saying.
I agree. I can't disagree with that at all.
I don't revere these players who are beating their wives up or whatever they're doing or cheating on their wives. I don't revere these players. I don't care how good they carry the ball.
I want to move away from the football thing for a second to a sad story about a girl who literally brought an entire city together. A little one little girl. Her name was Pamela Butler. Years ago, if you go look up the story, you'll find out the terrible thing that happened to that poor little girl. And when it come down to time for the people to come to, you know, the gathering that you do whenever you, after a funeral, whatever, you couldn't fit another car anywhere within miles of this place of how many people came together to support that family. That was one little girl. A tragic, tragic, tragic ending. And I keep saying this every time I go to a personal family funeral. Why does it always take a tragedy for us to come together? Like, I know that we have the power to do. You can come together for a ball game. You can come together for a party. You can come together for tragedies. But why does it always take that extreme to bring all these people together? Families that don't talk to each other for years come together because they lost one of their family members. And that's really hard to deal with. To see that it takes something that bad in order to bring that many people together. But if anything...
Well, it's a sad thing about our society. Just, again, over and over, it's the indoctrination of where we are told to put our focus and to put our energy, our focus, our passions. You know, where we are indoctrinated to do that. To ignore the burning of the rainforest, to ignore the consumerism, to ignore, you know, the destruction of this and that and children starving and blah, blah, blah. To ignore all that, you know, is all part of the indoctrination, where you can get thousands of people, probably more than that, because you have people at home watching the boob tube as well. It's the reason why they call it a boob tube. And, you know, drinking beer and doing whatever they're doing, they're having their family thing, and this is the indoctrination, is to focus all that passion, all that energy on this game, to me, and yeah, Angeline said it right. It's like I'm trying to say, it's like the Romans, R-O-M-A-N, pitted against each other, rubbed together, static causes an energy, a frequency. Energy vampires like the charge. Yeah, I mean, it's right. It's like the pitted against each other for entertainment of the elite, greed, money, it's all there. So, yes, you're talking about if only the people could take all that passion, all that faith, and put it in a different direction, we could make such a difference in the world. But they won't allow that because they got the football games and the baseball games and the basketball games. That's what the people are glommed onto, and that's deliberate.
It's every aspect of society. There's not. It's just not in the games. It's in the workplace. It's in the schools.
Yeah.
It's in your everyday life of you know, you have in your cities. You can't do this and you can't do that, but you better do this and you better do that. You're always under their control. There's not a time. I don't care where you are. Especially if you're on the internet, if you're not off grid and just living flat on the mother, you are being controlled. You can't get away from it. To what degree are you willing to be controlled? And to what degree are you willing to give away your energy? Are you willing to control your energy? You know, that it takes an awful, we talk about responsibility. Responsibility to what and to who? Are we talking about responsibility to the truth of who and where we come from, then we wouldn't be doing half the things that we are doing, because we're all stepping on both sides of the fence here. Yeah. As we go, there's no way that we can't. We talk about wanting to change the world, yet we're still driving our cars to the store to get what we need in a package in a box, right? We're still letting them pull oil up out of the ground and saying, okay, let me flip my electric switch on. You know, this is, okay, if we're going to be realistic about this, we're all in this control. We are all being controlled. There's only one thing that we have that we can utilize that belongs totally to us. And that's the frequency in which we walk through this life. So if what we're putting out is love, it doesn't matter in what situation we find ourselves. It doesn't matter in what circumstances we're surrounded by. If love, if truth, if these are the frequencies that we're about, then they don't win. They can't win. It's being conscious of self and where you are. You know? It's being conscious of what you're putting out. You can't run away from the control because it's everywhere. You can't stop the control because it's too big. And it's much more powerful. Not to say that we aren't powerful, but we haven't got to the point yet to where we realize how powerful we are. So, they have the upper hand. What they cannot do is change the frequency with which you move through this life. So it's all up to us. Nobody's making us do anything that we're not really actually choosing to do. But if we do it in love, I think we're a lot better off. Just saying.
I agree. I have seen the true power of humanity. I've seen it. We've all seen it at some point in time on some sort of small scale. We've all seen it. We've all seen what humans are really capable of when they choose to use it. I'm the forever optimist. I still believe in the dream, and I'm going to go to my grave still believing in the dream that there's a possibility. Maybe we've been around this circle so many times, we forgot our history, we forgot who and what we really are, And so we're kind of here doing it over and over and over and over again to infinity and beyond until we get it right. That's kind of what I think's going on. But at some point in the game, if those ants ever wake up and realize the truth, their way of life changes. That's what the grasshopper said. He said that those ants outnumber us 100 to 1. If they ever realize that, there goes our way of life. Those folks up there, the elitists, they know that. And they do focus your attentions on things other than what you should be focused on. And those are the,
by the way,
those are the great distractions.
By the way, in that ant movie, I think one ant or somebody in that ant family there gets really angry and says, "This is not a game."
That's it. It's not.
This is not a game. But they have us all wrapped up in these games. Yep. Everybody's wrapped up in the games. That's deliberate. It's not reality. It's not real. It's got nothing to do with reality. It's a game. But this is not a game, what we're dealing with here. Just saying.
That's it. I think there's so much I want to say, but we're down to the wire as usual. You know, we went down the rabbit hole of the dark web. The dark web rabbit hole we went down today. We talked about some things that are really terrible. We talked about the way that the systems out there got you fooled into believing you can be sneaky. You can't be sneaky. You got a camera in your face everywhere you go. You got a driver's license for those of you who can drive. You got a criminal record for those of you who can't. You got paperwork. You got birth certificates. You got social security cards. This system is not looking out for your best interest. Your medical records, everything. It's all tied in there. There's a file on you somewhere. Probably more than somewhere. Probably everywhere. This tool that we got called the internet could be used in such an incredible fashion. We do use it that way. We do here on the surface web, not down there in the dark web. Of course, they got their way of using it, but they use it for nefarious purposes. The government uses the internet for nefarious purposes. The corporations, the companies that gather up your information use it for nefarious purposes. They want to sell you something. They want to sell you the game. They want to get you to go to that football stadium, pay $10 for a drink and who knows what for whatever, and buy some of the nifty little pretty toys and all that kind of stuff so you're part of the team. When are you going to start being part of the human team and being realizing how important each of you as an individual are? The things that you could do together. So yeah, I'm going to be the forever optimist. I'm still going to believe in the dream. I'm bringing all these brilliant minds from all different nations to come together and solve these problems one positive pebble at a time. I'm going to keep on doing that. But it's a chore. And unless you're strong for yourself, you can't be strong for others. So I got some work to do on myself as well as I'm sure you listening in probably got some work to do on yours. But I've seen the power of these people. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I've seen it. I've felt it. All you got to do is feel it one time together. That's the trick. One time together, and maybe we won't repeat the past. Maybe we won't be that civilization that finally collapses. Maybe we'll finally get it and turn those lights on. That's what I'm hoping for.
I kind of believe that there is that aspect of a collective that is doing that and that will do that. It's sort of like, again, if you believe in peace, peace exists. If you believe in this timeline that we are meant to become the light, the higher frequency, the sacred self, you know, the higher consciousness, frequency-wise, that we are meant to be during this timeline, how crucial that is, but also that we were meant to be, that will be your experience. Again, you have to be, I think, aware of not slipping back into the fourth world of chaos with fear, frustration, you know, anger, and blames, and, you know, all these negatives, because that will slip you back out of the fifth world, you know, which is a different frequency altogether. And it is in our hands what we are going to manifest and create. It has always been in our hands, because what we believe and focus on, we are manifesting, we are creating. It's kind of simple, you know, but yet powerful, and to some unimaginable, I guess you'd say. And, you know, I have great faith. I've always said that. I have great faith in us, and I see people are awakening. I see people, you know, are really awesome. Like, the people here on People for People are just awesome. You're so beautiful, and it's wonderful that you come here and be with us on our talk shows, and, you know, not just here on Shaz's show on Sunday, but, you know, when we're here, Patty and I and various others, you know, we're here, I guess you say, we're sharing our perspectives with you guys, and we love to hear your perspectives, and it's beautiful. Yeah, this was a show that brought us to all different kinds of places, you know, and that's what it's all about. And I have great faith. I'm not a defeatist. I have great hope. I have a great sense of connectedness that I believe we all have. And I think this is an awesome time that we are living. And I do believe, and I have to say, that we all came back here to participate in it. Otherwise, you would not be here. That's just the way I look at things. You know, so I guess the question is, where's your frequency? How are you participating? And step away from the matrix and all the entities, darkness that are trying to take you, keep you, own you. And it's a battle for your spirit soul. Inside of you, you are light and love and compassion. Just make that choice. That's where we are. We have the choice to do that or not. So, yeah, I want to thank you so much again. Another great show, and I appreciate so much being able to be here with you, Shaz, and my sister, and everybody else in the chats. Thank you so much. Pilamaya, Daksha.
Thank you very much. We took our trip down the rabbit hole together. We came out the other side. I wouldn't say totally unscathed, but we're not doing so bad, I think. So what about you, Patty? You got any words of wisdom?
Other than, you know, it's your choice. You know, you can love or you can hate. You can find joy or you can find sorrow. You can make love and joy, or you can make hate and sorrow. It's all about you. It's all about me. It's all about where we choose to stand, what we choose to put out. And as long as we are standing in love, as long as we are standing and walking and speaking in a sacred manner, I think we got this. I don't think they're going to win. I don't think that's an option. What I think is that each and every individual is going to make their choice, and you need to stand in that choice, whatever it is. I love each and every one of you, no matter where you are, no matter what you think, no matter how you act. I love you, and I am thankful and I am grateful. I've got a chance to be a part of this adventure, and I'm loving every minute of it. And thank you, Shaz. Thank you, Sis. And thank you, everybody in the chat. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, both of you ladies, all you people out there. Well, folks, another Knights of the Round Table comes and goes, but we're not done yet. I still believe in the dream, and I know these ladies, and all you believe in it as well, otherwise we probably wouldn't come here and waste our time. It's not a waste of time when you do something positive. I keep saying you go into the darkest cave you can possibly imagine, and you light one candle, that darkness, it backs up. And the more people going in that dark cave and lighting up a candle, the farther back that darkness gets. And so when I see things like what I explained today about something as simple as a game, or the tragic story of a little girl named Pamela Butler that actually brought a whole entire city together, I believe that power that is within each and every one of you is unstoppable when you decide to use it. Your heart is probably by far the most amazing thing that holds that love. I just don't know how it does it. I honestly don't know how you could fit that much love into a heart. But you do. And when you let that shine, that inner light, that spirit, that energy that you're made of, you become an unstoppable force in yourself. Because it's like that positive pebble in the pond. If you really sit down and you think about that phrase, when you throw that positive pebble in the pond, those waves, those ripples, they go all the way across the entire thing. And every single living creature in there is affected by that one little tiny action. Simple smile, a hug, kind word, a kind deed. That's how we're going to beat back that darkness. We need to turn those lights up bright as we possibly can. And I'll say it, I said it before and I'll say it again. If you can sing like an angel, now's the time to stand up and do just that. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If anything in this show today inspired you, please share the podcast with somebody. Share the message. Tell them to come over here and visit these folks. If they don't show up at Shaziz Radio, try to get them over there at People for People Radio. We're trying to bring some good news and some good messages to people. We're trying to share our love with the world against that thing that you call the dark web out there. Don't go down there without some backup. Don't go down there without a light and without love in your heart. And if you can avoid it, don't go down there at all. Please share the podcast. Peace and love. Take care.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one? Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put quite impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off to bad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shaziz the Terrible. All those who are king, Shaziz the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.